Cody Goff and Craig Collins in for Matt Bubala here on 720 WGN Radio. Yes, that's right. If you're a longtime listener to the program, this little WGN overnight 3 hours of madness from 2 to 5 a.m., you may recognize my voice. You may recognize Craig's voice.
Well, they're going to recognize your voice a lot more than mine. The 2 to 5 segment was a Cody Goff show.
It was. That's not accurate. We have both been producers on WGN Overnight with Brian Noonan in the past, and now we are here filling in for Matt Bubala, co-hosting for the next 3 hours, hopefully providing an entertaining, edutaining show.
Edutainment? You're going to go edutainment?
Little edutainment.
I think it's going to be edutaining. We have an amazing rundown in front of us. The number one thing on the rundown, Cody, and I feel like I'm stealing your thunder, but I have to ask about it. It says something interesting. What does that say? Do you want to say that, or do you want to explain to us what the first topic of the show is?
Why does it say engagement story?
It says engagement story, and I am confused.
We can get to that also, by the way. At 2:30, we've got some big things planned.
Oh, my God.
At 2:30, we have a sword swallower.
We understand that this is radio, and you can't see what we see, but we're going to post a video, we promise. There will be a sword-swallowing professional in studio.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That's a
hell of a 2:30 booking from Shantae right there.
It's a combination of words you don't often hear. Sword-swallowing professional. And then
we have two of them, by the way, actually. And one of the sword-swallowing professionals swallowed a sword and then dragged a car. Like, he did this whole—he had a sword in his mouth, and he pulled, like, 3,700. I have to ask these questions because that's incredible. And I'm just excited to see these people.
It'll be pretty fantastic. And then we'll talk about UFOs and some other things.
Because aliens are real.
And just stay tuned to kind of hear what's going on.
First topic.
We'll get
of the
to
show.
That in a second. I'm still warming up to this chair. This is a unique and new position. I gotta ask upstairs, Mr. Roger Badish, if you ever thought that you would see this day happen.
Not in my wildest dreams.
And it's living up to all
my
your
wildest
expectations.
Nightmares.
This is everything you thought it would be and more. We're doing great, right, Roger?
You guys, like, you've never been away from it. It's like, you know, a car that just feels right, you know?
Yeah, it's like a bike.
Yeah, a bike.
We're just riding a bike again. Yeah, a bike for two.
Who's
bicycle.
In front?
These are great ideas for photos we can take for this only one show that we do. We should do like a tandem bike photo WGNradio.com.
There you go.
We'll Photoshop ourselves on the two bikes.
I do want to let the listeners know, of course, if it's working right during these hours, that they can go to WGNradio.com if they're near a computer, even on their phone.
Yeah.
And click on Watch Now.
Yes, and we highly recommend that at 2:30. At 2:30, if you're near a computer and you can visually watch something, watch the sword swallowing that happens in studio.
We will be live streaming that from the WGN Radio Facebook page.
Yep.
All right.
We're going to be shooting video and putting it up on the website the next morning.
Yeah.
We're getting technical.
A lot of good things.
Very exciting.
But I would like to get to...
Oh, thank God.
We got to get to some content.
Right.
And some meaty things have happened
today. To you. I don't have an engagement story, so I'm confused. Who has the engagement story?
You have an engagement story because you're married.
Okay, I don't have one that happened very recently.
So, Roger, I got engaged today.
Well, it's about time. Good Lord.
Never thought it was
gonna
happen.
Wondering how long you were going to drag this thing out. My goodness gracious.
It's only been 2 years.
Wait a minute. Only been 2 years?
That's not that bad.
An eternity in your lifetime.
No, there's people you hear that go like 10 years in a relationship. 2 years isn't so bad. I'm giving you the seal of approval there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, 2 years
two
it happened.
2 years. My God, Noonan was like a baby when you started dating her.
No, he wasn't. He was 200 pounds heavier.
There you go. Thank you.
Opposite.
Right.
Before he lost 160 plus pounds, very impressively. So today I proposed to my girlfriend. Well, I mean, Friday technically was Casey's birthday, and I guess I'll tell the story because it's kind
of... Yeah, I want you to tell the story.
A cute story.
By the way, just for the listeners, I'm hearing this for the first time, too. You refused to tell us before the show. You didn't want to ruin this. So I still haven't heard this.
All right. So our favorite place in Chicago is the Music Box Theater.
Okay.
On Southport
Avenue.
It's
a great pick.
It is... We love it because it's charming, and the films that they show... And I've not paid for this, by the way, at all. Believe me, I wish I were. The films that they show are the perfect mix of indie film and campy film and old classic film without feeling like a pretentious kind of joint.
Yeah.
You know, you can go and it's very accessible. We were just there last week. We saw The Red Turtle. It's the latest film from Studio Ghibli.
I understood none of the things you just said, but okay, that sounds cool.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, so it's our favorite place. I have always said that, and I told her this months and months ago when we first started talking about a proposal. I said, if and when I ever propose to a girl, I want it to be in a place that we can go back to and return to.
Aw, that's nice.
I'm not a fan of the destination proposals, and some people are, and that's fine. The last time I was at the Eiffel Tower in Paris, literally I saw a guy get on one knee and propose to his girlfriend.
That's not original, though. That's not cool anymore.
I'm not even exaggerating.
Right.
And that's great. Yeah, I'm sure that was wonderful for them. Hey, we're taking a big trip.
No, she probably hated it. She was like, really, the Eiffel Tower? I knew this was coming. There was no suspense. She knew for weeks when they planned this trip that he was going to propose there. No, you did it much better.
That does ruin some surprise.
Right?
So, I had always thought, well, we're in Chicago. What's in Chicago that's always going to be here? Well, there's the lakefront.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Bean. But I'm not going to propose in front of the Bean.
No.
That's just
all the selfies happening around you?
Yeah.
Been done.
Right. Exactly.
It's also been done. Good point.
So I came up with this plan. So I brought her over to 5411 Empanadas, also not paying me. I'm not sure why I said their full name. But I went to one of the 75 empanada joints on the Southport corridor. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that entire street?
Well, empanadas are delicious, so they should open as many as possible.
Well, they have.
Okay, good.
They have opened as many
as
wonderful.
Possible. Then the world is doing what I think it should do without me even telling the world. That's awesome.
So we went to an empanada joint. And right by the music box. And then we walked. I said, we're going to go for a walk after this.
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely. We walk on under the music box. And now outside on top of the music box is the marquee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The marquee.
The marquee.
Where they say what film is.
What's a marquee?
I don't know. It's Cody's getting
very fancy. Is
that
a singing group?
Right.
That's the French way of pronouncing
it. Oh, thank you.
My fiance and I prefer the marquee.
After a sweet empanada, you guys. So what happened? Come on, I need the whole story.
Empanada.
Wait, yeah, doesn't he have to break for commercials now?
No, we're not breaking for any commercials.
I like the way you think,
Roger. I need the story.
I literally
got a tease.
I was just thinking about saying, and you'll find out after this. No, I'll get.
I will throw stuff at you if we find out after the commercials.
I will finish this part of the story,
okay,
then tease something else.
Right, good.
Expertly for the commercials. So We get right underneath the scrolling. It's not scrolling.
The scrolling marquee.
It's not scrolling,
right?
Because it's stationary. We get underneath the marquee, right outside the doors, and I knew this ahead of time. There's a Chase Bank across the street, and I said, I don't know why I'm dropping every
no,
brand
please,
name.
No, please name all
I...
the businesses. We do want sponsorships. This is the most NASCAR-esque story I've ever heard. By the way, from the 773, I dated for 10 years before I got engaged. 2 years is nothing. See, I told you. That's
10
wonderful.
10 years.
10. This
wow.
happens. 773, you're lucky the person you proposed to said yes. Because at 10 years, maybe you're just angry.
Well, this person said congratulations. Thank you. Congratulations
you're welcome.
To you as well.
Yeah, right?
10 years engaged. So I said, hey, I need to get some cash out from the bank because I think this place we're going to, this vague place, I
right.
need to, it's a cash-only place. She goes, oh, I've got $40 in my wallet.
And
I go, no, we're
and
going
then, to. And then Cody stops and says, darn, you got more money than me?
No, you don't have $40 in your wallet. Be quiet.
That was a thought. That
right.
was a thought. And so I go, no, it doesn't matter. I need money. So we walk across the street, and I said, oh, hey, there's a question I've really been meaning to ask you, by the way. Did you see what's playing at the music box? And she turns around.
Oh, very sly.
And
oh,
on the marquee.
You didn't, you dog.
Some say it, Mark Kay,
on the but... left, it said, happy birthday, Casey. And on the right, it said, will you marry me?
And then when she looked back at you, were you on a knee? Is that how you did
no,
that?
No, he's getting cash out of the...
yeah, I was
yeah,
at the ATM. I was punching to my PIN number.
You know, I'm curious. How did you know she wasn't going to look until you pointed to it? Did you know that she wasn't going to, like, glance over? If this is one of your favorite places, if she loves the music box, how did she not look at the marquee? I'm just going to keep saying it the way you did before you told her to.
Yeah, when you were walking up
yeah,
from the restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, she probably saw it, like, six times and was just being sweet about it.
No, no, no. I was very, very specific that it needed to be street side because we were on the same side of the sidewalk as the music box.
Oh.
So when we walk up to it, you only see the side of it.
Got it.
So when we crossed the street, you saw the front, too. So there's no way, unless we had been on the west
very
side.
Very well done.
Yeah, I had this whole thing choreographed, like a dance routine.
Right.
Or choreographed, if you want to.
We can't do this all night. Let's not. It's choreographed.
That was the Oyerish.
You planned it out.
Yeah.
So you're over at the bank thing.
She looks up. She says, maybe. Does she say yes right away? Does she cry? Are there tears?
There was a lot going on. There were a lot of tears.
You were crying. She was crying.
No, actually, he was taking her $40, and she was just crying because he took her $40.
Well,
come on now. Was she... She hugged you and kissed you.
There were a lot of tears involved. It was wonderful at the end of the, and then I pulled the ring out and I said, "Oh, by the way, I didn't wrap your birthday present. I'm not sure if you want this now." So I gave it to her. It was great. The one of the best parts of it was literally 30 seconds after this happens, a group of 10 or so 13-year-old girls just happens to be walking on the sidewalk.
Did they all yell
us.
On your side, on the side
on
you were on?
On our side that we're on now. And they all stop and they're looking at the marquee. And they're all saying to each other, "Oh, my gosh, look how cute that is. Oh, that's so romantic." And then their eyes all slowly turn to Casey.
Oh, no.
And she's standing there kind of still shocked, just totally in shock. And she just goes, "Is that you?" And she says, "Yes, me." And they all start freaking out. They get their hands over their hearts and over the...
Casey got hugged by 13 teenagers? Is that what happened?
Hug her, no.
They should have.
But I felt like a hero to many. And
you should have just stayed.
I want a boyfriend like that.
No, amen. You should have just stood by the marquee the rest of the night.
Yeah,
I probably should have. Well, and I'm getting texts already. Post a picture of the marquee that will happen somewhere. I don't know where I'm going to post.
Are you still shaking?
The thing is,
seriously.
I have not even told all my friends about it because this just
happened. You just did.
Yeah.
I know, right? Well, I told my family earlier today. I covered the bases with telling mom before I tell, Chicagoland and everyone listening online at WGNradio.com. But I've got to kind of be a little slow about the release on this. So the picture will come out in time. But here's where we'll get some interaction, hopefully.
Let's get some interaction.
Some of our loyal listeners.
Yeah.
After the break, it almost all went horribly wrong.
Oh, no.
I want to know about that. That's a wonderful tease.
I'm Cody Goff. I'm here with Craig Collins.
Oh, this is a jam, too, by the way.
We are jamming out.
Yeah, we are.
In lieu of Matt Bubala being here, who's out for the night, here on WGN Radio. And we're just talking about engagement stories. I was telling about my epic.
Yeah, but you didn't. You said that it almost all failed, and we don't know why.
It did.
Okay.
All right. So I've had this plan for a month, this whole music box proposal.
Right.
You don't get a custom marquee in a day.
No, that is not something that takes just a day to turn around.
No. So I had this plan for a long time, and then about a week ago, I get a text from our boss, as did you.
Right.
Saying, "Hey, Cody and Craig, how about you fill in from 2 to 5 a.m.?
Matt needs a night off. Why don't you guys fill in?" And by the way, I answered like 6 times before you texted anything, telling Stephanie Menendez, thank you, Stephanie, for putting us on the air, that yes, we were taking it no matter what you said. I didn't care what was going on in your life. We were taking the shift. And apparently a whole lot was.
And I agree.
Yeah.
But suddenly this is now occurring on the night of my girlfriend's birthday and the day I'm going to propose. So first night engaged,
Night engaged, and he didn't get to this part of the story, Roger, but he left her at a Taco Bell. The night ends with Casey just at a Taco Bell
after the movie?
Somewhere.
After the proposal?
No. We'll get there.
You took your chalupa and you left.
Well, see, here's the reason why he planned it. He needed content for the show.
That's good.
He knew that this would take up the first hour.
Right. Exactly.
Smart.
The first half hour. I was thinking, I was going to do it another time, but I got to have something to talk about.
Yeah.
My life is dull.
No, I appreciate that. You're
not only
to the
that,
show.
When he gets older and senile,
right,
he's never going to forget when she says, "Do you remember the day you proposed?" And he's going to remember, birthday, birthday.
No, yeah. He's just going to say, "Oh, do you mean the day that I hosted on WGN Radio?"
Yes. Oh, that yeah, that's even better. Yeah, right.
It'll be easy. Well, the thing, everything nearly went awry because I had originally planned on having a few close friends meet up at the Violet Hour, speakeasy in Wicker Park, for some drinks on her birthday night. Well, if I had to be here at midnight, how am I going to go for drinks? So I
appreciate the fact that you didn't, because drunk Cody would be fun to host with, but this is better.
Would it?
I think so. I think, like, just, you know, maybe for half an hour, and then we send you home in a taxi.
Well, maybe. So that plan went on and off. And then you remember how the last week, every day, it was 70 degrees and sunny?
Yeah.
You remember how today it was 40-ish and rainy?
There's supposed to be snow?
There was snow earlier tonight.
Yeah, there's still snow coming down now. It's flurries out there.
Yeah. So that almost ruined everything. You know, it would have been so nice to have a 70-degree sunny day, but then there's the weather. And then Wednesday afternoon, I had to leave my day job. I had to call in sick. Well, I didn't call in because I was there, but I left work sick. I had a sore throat, and I went home, took a nap, and woke up with a, like, kind of a cough and a little runny nose, and I'm thinking, no. This is not the week.
I refuse sickness,
this
world.
This is not the week I get sick. The week I'm proposing and I'm filling in.
Let's say that it would have been so much sweeter if you proposed and you were, like, drooling at the mouth, just sick, and you just didn't care, and you still proposed. I would think that that was sweet. I wouldn't think that that was bad. You know, if you played sick or you played hurt kind of thing.
I mean, I know that in sickness and in health thing.
Right. Just show her sickness right away. Just let her know what that looks like.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah. That kicks in eventually. By the way, we got a follow-up text from the 773. That's so funny. You assumed I was a guy. I'm a girl who waited. He is lucky I said yes, and I had to go to work the night I got engaged as well, so I feel your pain. Well,
no.
Thank you, texter.
Fair enough, 773.
And you have been called out.
I've been called. Well, not really, though. I mean, the guy has to ask the girl, so did she wait or did he wait? I'm confused. 773, did you actually wait? Did you reject proposals, or did it take 10 years to get one?
Craig, you asked too many questions.
I'm just curious.
I mean, now I understand. I mean, it could be that, you know, maybe the guy didn't have a job or something like that.
I don't want to project anymore. 773, you have to text us back. I want to know if you rejected
forget
your man.
Forget Cody's engagement.
Times.
Let's find out what 773 is doing here.
All right, we got to forget everything right now because we have someone that's going to swallow a sword shortly after the break.
Exactly what marriage is like. No, I'm kidding.
So we're just going to...
No, Roger, that was terrible. I shouldn't have said anything. I'm so excited for you guys. And I love my wife, by the way. I should just say that. I think we have a commercial break. Is there a commercial break we need to take?
No, I've been told I was wrong about that.
Oh, no.
We're
and if you were watching the radio stream right now, you would see Craig's face just so solidly red.
No, it's not. No, I was just making a joke. And the sword swallowers, I'm very excited for when they come in studio because it's not very often that you see someone swallow a sword. And we're going to get one, like, right next to us. Mm-hmm. She's going to be standing right here just a couple feet away from me, and she's going to eat a sword, and that's amazing.
So eating is different.
No, I think it's the same thing.
Right? I know you think it's
well,
the same thing.
Well, they call it a sword swallower.
Well,
when
good.
You're eating, you have to swallow the food, don't
I'm
you?
I'm glad we have an expert in to explain the differences to me, the subtle difference between
swallowing
and
eating. Are you guys
going to
try it?
No. Cody said he wanted to learn, though, and they claim to be able to teach.
I'm not going to do that the night I got engaged.
How's your sore throat there, Cody?
Yeah, how are you feeling now?
Does it sound sore? That's what really mattered. All right,
I'm crushing it.
Then that's fine. I was worried because I did end up I ended up recreating those original plans so that I didn't leave her by herself. So
and
I ended
Taco
up,
Bell.
Yeah. Well, I rounded up friends. We went to Violet Hour for a nice little social hour. No, I didn't drink, but yeah, I was yelling for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So then my worry was I'm going to show up at WGN with no voice.
Well, everybody's hugging you. Everybody's excited. It's a wonderful moment.
It was out of control. But
now,
hey,
I always get to the news on time.
Cody Goff and Craig Collins in for Matt Bubala. Ooh, I feel like I'm in a video game.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool song, too. I like a lot of the bumps tonight.
That was
and now there's
cool.
Now there's some sort of cool tech thing going on.
Some kind of chip tune.
Yeah, nice.
I dig it.
I love every time you say our names and then WGN Radio. I'm not going to get over that for a while. That's really great. Cody Goff, Craig Collins, WGN Radio, and we're about to talk sword swallowing.
We are. I just hope everyone is as entertained as we are. That's really the goal. Everyone else is the secondary goal. I'm just here to have fun. We are going to be – well, we're joined right now. Listen, today, I believe, I'll be corrected momentarily if I'm wrong. Today is National Sword Swallowing – sorry, World Sword Swallowing
World
Day.
Sword Swallowing Day.
And
this goes well beyond the United States of
America.
We
have on the phone a guy who knows a thing or two about sword swallowing. Dan Meyer is the president of Sword Swallowers Association International, and he's here to talk about sword swallowing today. Dan, are you there, and how are you? I think.
Oh, Dan's on the air. We're trying to talk to Dan.
One second.
No, you're fine. I think the phones are on.
I know what happened.
Oh, no. Here, push that button. Push the one that says phones. The red one over here. Here, I got you.
I got it. Dan, you there? I think we fixed it.
Good. I am here, guys.
Perfect. Cool. That went seamlessly. Dan, you have an amazing profession. I want to say that first and foremost. And when I read your title, Sword Swallower Association International President, I want to know what it took to get to be president of the Sword Swallowing Club.
Well, it's a pretty cutthroat.
That was well done.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm the founder of the Sword Swallowers Association and kind of networked all the sword swallowers together many years ago, back in the about 2001.
Wow.
And just a bizarre organization, but we love what we do.
Okay, you said networked all the sword swallowers together. How many people are in your organization?
Well, and actually, I don't have the numbers right on the top of my head here, but there are less than a few dozen professional sword swallowers actively performing around the world today.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very small amount, much fewer than have climbed to the top of Mount Everest or been to the moon or been to the out in outer space, I mean, I should say. A few dozen.
Because what you do is entertaining. It's very, very entertaining. It's also crazy, and I'm sure you've heard that a lot. What you do is sort of nuts. Can you explain a little bit about what you guys do?
Yeah. Sword swallowing, and I'm going to give you a little history here.
Please.
Sword swallowing started about 4,000 years ago in ancient India, South India. We're pretty sure it's someplace near Andhra Pradesh, India. And it's just a very, very bizarre art form that involves having to stick a sword all the way down to the bottom of your stomach. That's basically what it involves.
Okay, and it's not fake, because a lot of people see that happen and they think like the sword somehow is you know, one of the slinky sword situations or something. It's just folding in your body. It's not really going in there.
That's what people think. It's fake, yes. And no, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's very hard to try and even find any fake swords. I've got one collapsible one curl-up one that I use it when I start out my act. But no, in actuality, the blade goes all the way down the bottom of your stomach if you do it right, and further if you do it wrong. But
now I gotta ask, how sharp are these swords? I don't doubt that they're pretty sharp, but I mean, are you honing these to a razor's edge before you put them down?
Sure, yeah, they're razor sharp, guys. And I tell people, I joke, I say, no, I happen to use a very dull razor. no, in most cases, we do kind of take the edge off of our sword, and especially the tip. We've had 29 deaths from sword injuries over the past 150 years or so, where people have punctured their esophagus or puncture their heart or hit the bottom of their stomach or whatever. So it is extremely dangerous. And if you have an injury, the doctors can't just reach in and slap a Band-Aid on
it. Right.
We might be crazy, but we're not stupid. We try to be careful with what we do.
So you just mentioned how dangerous it is. What gets you into sword swallowing? When does Dan Meyer say to himself, man, you know what I can do? I can definitely swallow a sword.
That's a good question, and actually the answer varies from performer to performer, but there actually happen to be quite a few commonalities that we all have between ourselves. For me personally, as a little kid growing up, and I wasn't too far from Chicago. I was over in Michigan City, Indiana, growing up.
It's funny you mentioned that, because we just got a text from the 219. Scott Burns says hi.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Hey, Scott.
Look at that.
Good to hear from you. No, as a little kid growing up in Michigan City, I had really extreme fears, low self-esteem, inferiority complex. I kind of was suffered from something called what they diagnosed now as a social anxiety disorder as a kid. And because of that, the bullies would tease me and beat me up and wouldn't let me, you know, play in any of their games or that kind of thing as a kid. And so I vowed, if the bullies wouldn't, you know, let me play in their sports games, I vowed I wanted to do real magic, do things the other kids could not do.
That is,
and a lot of the other sword swallowers kind of grew up with the same thing. They were, you know, people said, you know, you can't, you're uncool, you're not like us, kind of like if you ever watch Big Bang Theory, you know,
sure.
some folks on there, they're kind of, you know, the outsiders kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
that
so
is.
I wanted to do real crazy stuff. And as a kid growing up, I would read Guinness Book of World Records or Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Sure.
I saw real people doing real feats. And I thought, you know, I want to do something crazy with my life, something that the other kids cannot do. I want to do the impossible with my life. And in 1997, I met a sword swallower and heard there were less than a dozen sword swallowers left in the world at that time. And I said, you know, give me some tips. And he said, I'll give you two tips. Number one, it's extremely dangerous. People have died doing this. Number two, don't try it.
Okay, good tips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
And I put it on my list of you know, bucket list of thrones of things to do.
Sure.
And I practiced 10 to 12 times a day, every day for 4 years. Trying
what is
to
practice?
Find the
what do you
proper...
mean? What do you mean you practiced? You had a sword and you tried to swallow it?
Yep. I went out and bought a sword. It was probably about a 15-inch dagger. And I attempted to swallow it every day. I'd practice three or four times in the morning, three or four times in the afternoon for, you know,
wow.
when I came home from work. And honestly, I started when I was 40 years old practicing. And it took me practicing 10 to 12 times a day, every day. It took me about 4 years, about 13,000 unsuccessful full attempts before I got my first sword down my throat.
Unsuccessful?
What do you mean unsuccessful?
What was that like?
Well,
you're
kind of hitting the back of your throat, the gag reflex, you know, and it's just a lot of trial and error kind of thing until you find the proper alignment. I had to adjust my posture and kind of straighten my backbone up. I looked at all these photos for years. I mean, I accumulated about 1,000 photos of sword swallowers over the past, you know, years. And I looked at these photos and I thought, if that guy can do it or that lady can do it, you know, there's got to be some chance I can do it.
So we're talking to Dan Meyer, president of Sword Swallowers Association International. And Dan, you talked about all these tries. Did you always try with a sword or were you able to try with like a staff?
Yeah, right. Do you build the sword? Is there something before sword that you try?
No.
Like a
carrot? For me, no. Yeah, a carrot's not a bad idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, go home, knock yourself out.
Wow.
But now, over the years, there have been people that have tried with butter knives or different things. And if they kind of mess up or cough or something and let go of the knife, it goes down in their stomach. The only way they can get it out is the doctors, you know, have to take them into emergency surgery and cut them open and take the knife out. So,
yeah, Dan, I would be way too scared to try this. I would definitely be a butter knife kind of guy, and it wouldn't get that far, and I would give up immediately because putting a sword in your body seems really scary.
It does. I mean, it's counterintuitive to anything your body wants to do. And here's part of the deal is when you're learning to swallow a sword, and we all go through the same kind of thing as sword swallowers, that on average it takes most people from 3 years to 10 years to learn to swallow a single sword.
Wow.
And then it takes even more time than that to work up the multiple swords and some of the incredible stunts that people have done. But it involves, we have to kind of learn our bodies. I talked with lots of doctors. I'd look at all these medical charts and get out Gray's Anatomy and all the different, you know, books and just kind of study where the signal flow goes. And here's the cool thing, guys. It takes... you have to overcome several obstacles while you're doing it. The first one is when you hit the back of your throat, you know, everybody hits the gag reflex first, right? I mean, everybody's got that when you're brushing your teeth kind of thing. And then once you get to past the gag reflex in the back of the throat, you have to kind of navigate a 90-degree turn and stick the sword down your upper esophagus. You have to repress the peristalsis reflex.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Throat, which is that swallow thing, the 22 pairs of muscles that swallows your food down into your stomach. When you get the sword down into your chest cavity between your lungs, the blade runs into the highest concentration of blood vessels in the human body, an organ known as the cardiac muscle or the heart. And so as the sword goes down the esophagus kind of makes a three-way juncture around the heart. So when we get to the heart, we actually have to nudge the heart to the left a little bit and back.
Oh my God. You have to nudge your heart to the left out of the way of a sword.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you watch very carefully, you can see the blade beat with your heart, and you can kind of feel it, but you can see the blade kind of beat there because it's leaning against the heart, separated by about an eighth of an inch of esophageal tissue. And that's the, you know, pretty serious one. I have held the heart of a sword swallower in London. There was a guy in the 1940s who, they've got his heart on display at the British Museum in London, and the sword actually impaled his heart because it
oh my God.
Somehow it didn't nudge over to the left, and he died.
Well, however scary you just made that all sound, we actually have a sword swallower about to walk in studio and do this in front of us.
Awesome.
I know. How cool is that?
Gigi Arroyo, right there in Chicago, one of our sword swallowers. She's going to be performing at Ripley's, believe it or not, up in Wisconsin Dell tomorrow in just a few hours for World Sword Swallowers Day.
That is, and I wanted to ask about World Sword Swallowers Day as well. So I know that the part of this is to kind of raise maybe a little bit of awareness and kind of respect for the profession, because over the years, I understand, like, a sword swallower was used to help develop the first rigid endoscope and underwent the first esophageal electrocardiogram.
There have been medical advancements from this community.
And for some reason, kind of overlooked by the history books or by some medical practitioners. So why do you think that is? And how can you not respect a guy that's able to nudge his heart to the side? How can anyone not respect that? I don't understand where this lack comes from. And talk to how you're going to help that out tomorrow.
Well, yeah, kind of like what you said, the whole reason we founded World Sword Swallowers Day 10 years ago was to, first of all, just to prove to people that sword swallowing is really real. Most people don't ever think about it. They don't realize it's really real. And so I, several years ago, realized, you know, there's President's Day, there's Secretary's Day, there's Nurse's Day, there's all these different holidays for all these different occupations, but nobody had ever had one for Sword Swallowers Day. And so we do it as a way of kind of honoring the veteran sword swallowers,
yeah,
to kind of prove to people that sword swallowing is really real, to dispel the myth about sword swallowing, to raise awareness for the fact that sword swallowers are injured. You know, we have from 3 to 8 serious injuries every year. Sword swallowers that call me, they're in the hospital. They're like, "Hey, Dan, I've got a perforated esophagus. You know, they've got me on an IV drip." And this thing happened. This happens, you know, several times a year with different sword swallowers around the world. And so we want people to know it is very serious, but it is very real. And it's still a very viable entertainment option today that, you know, if you're really looking for something interesting for your corporate event or your whatever, contact, you know, the Sword Swallowers Association International. Look us up online at swordswallow.org, swordswallow.com, where you can see all the photos and the world records and all that kind of stuff. And it's something that, you know, we do, the handful of us that still do it, it's really a very cool entertainment option for your corporate event, your medical science event, or whatever it is. You know, it's something that
this is very entertaining. I'm stoked. And like I said, I just told Cody we have to go to a break because we got to get our sword swallower in here. But this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, and if people want to learn more about the Sword Swallowing Day, what would the main website for that be?
It's www.swordswallow.com is our main website for general public, and swordswallow.org for the world for the Sword Swallowers Association International.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Well, thanks so much, Dan. And that was a lot of really great information. And we're gonna have Gigi come in just a minute. Do you want to hang on a couple minutes with us in case we've got any more questions for you after
the
break?
Sure.
Cool. Thanks so much. We will be with you in just a moment. Cody Goff here with Craig Collins. We're in for Matt Bubala, and we have just been joined by Gigi Deluxe. I hope I said that right. I hope I said that correctly. I should probably turn your mic on, too. I want to hear you.
How close do I have to get to this?
Yeah, pretty close. Oh. You got to almost eat the microphone.
Oh, really? Yeah,
but don't swallow it.
I see lipstick on there.
Okay, good.
You said as soon as you walked in, you said I'm going to get glitter everywhere and there's going to be lipstick everywhere. And you know what? That's really okay. That's really okay. You can make a mess as much as you want because what you're about to do is a really fantastic, phenomenal thing.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here for you guys.
Well, good. And we've still got on the phone Dan Meyer, the president of Sword Swallowers Association International. And
here we go. Let me do that. I should hit that button.
I hit lots of buttons. There's so many buttons in here. I hit it. We're good. We're good. Dan, can you hear us?
No. Hold on. Now we can, because now, okay, here we go. Dan, are you there?
There we go.
Awesome. Hey, technology. Okay, so we're about to celebrate Sword Swallower Day with the both of you, and in a very exciting way, we're going to see a live sword swallowing. But first, Gigi, before you do that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you also decided to be crazy in the best of ways.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. I started it's almost going on 3 years, and I started doing sideshow with my archery act. My specialty act is archery with a human target.
Wow.
And that's how I got started. I'm a certified archery instructor.
With a human target. You said that very specifically.
I tried to talk Craig into it, but
it's kind of like knife throwing.
Right.
But with I shoot a Hoyt recurve bow, 35-pound pull.
Sure.
With real arrows. And from that point, when I started doing that, I was just fascinated. I've always been fascinated with sideshow and circus, but I was always fascinated with sword swallowing. And I knew right off the bat that I wanted to add to my skill sets, and that was definitely top of the list. Go big or go home, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like a bucket list thing for everybody that gets into it, too. Like Dan said, there's some sort of aspect to it that you say, you know what, some people can
do
that.
It's like
the
Mount Everest of sideshow, you know? So it's the jewel on the crown.
How many swords have you swallowed in your life now?
I'm working on 3. What do you mean? Like
In your whole life, how many times have you swallowed a sword?
Oh, I don't know.
No idea.
I have no idea.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful answer to that question.
Dan mentioned it took him thousands of tries before it happened.
Yeah.
How about for you?
It took a while. I mean, it took a lot of practice, and I was practicing with hangers, and I hated it. I will never swallow a hanger again,
oh
ever.
My God.
That's fair.
Ever.
That
sounds even
you should.
Worse than a sword.
And,
yeah.
The swords are way better.
You straighten the hanger out, though, right? You're not curling. Okay.
No. And I don't suggest anybody just do it on their own. I had a mentor who actually couldn't do it, but was trained at Coney Island.
Wow.
And came back and assisted me as to how they explained to her how to do it. So I had a mentor. I had somebody there. And then I met other sword swallowers, and they helped me. This was not something that I just did because I saw a video.
And this community isn't competitive at all? You guys all want to help each other?
It's competitive, but I think for me, because I had my own skill set and I brought something to the table, I think people were a little bit more open and being helpful because I could only speak about my experience. I don't know how other people get treated. But you know, it's a very small community, and I just found people were really helpful and cool about it. But I mean, it might be because I already had my own skill set and
because you were already shooting arrows at people, that
right?
They would watch,
they kind of took maybe a little
they were a little
serious.
Scared of you. Maybe they thought like maybe you're going to shoot
arrows.
Right?
I'll shoot you. No, the kneecaps. No, but I found everyone to be really helpful. From you know, I was really honored because from Dan to Red. Just people who are legends to people that are my peers were really helpful. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, and Dan's definitely a legend. We forgot to ask you this, Dan, but you have 7 Guinness World Records?
I do. I've got a total of like 39 world records right now. There are other record associations other than Guinness. But, you know, we're all kind of pushing the envelope here, you know, with what we do. And tomorrow, well, in about, I don't know, 8 or 9 hours or so, I'm going to attempt to break another world record here. I'm down in Florida, down in Panama City, Florida, right now. And we're going to try and break a record. I'm going to try to swallow as many swords as possible in 3 minutes.
And what's the record?
I don't know how many that's going to be, but we're going to shoot for it.
What are you trying to break? Do you know what the record is?
The record is 16 swords in 3 minutes. Now,
that seems nuts. That's incredible.
And these are individual swords, and they have to be at least 16 inches in length by 1/2 inch in width by, you know, 1 millimeter in thickness.
And then, but by the way, I think we saw a video of you swallowing a flaming sword. I think you've done that, right?
That could have been. That one was America's Got Talent in Las Vegas, the semifinals back in 2008.
Wow.
That was a bizarre, oh, man. That was the only time I've ever managed to pull off the flaming sword. It was pretty cool.
And your sword is not going to be on fire today.
There's it is not.
No. Okay, good. That's a good decision.
And the most I'm doing tonight are two.
That's totally fine.
I did see you hydrating. You're hydrating a lot for this, and we do, do get a text. Do you spray it with any kind of olive oil or anything to?
No, I mean, we lick the blade. That's about it.
Are you
it.
Guys really close to the swords? Do you sort of create a bond with the swords you swallow? And well, I mean that seriously.
I know I do, for sure. I customize all my swords. I work on my swords. It's kind of like how I feel about my other, you know, first and foremost, we're artists. So, you know, our energy is going into our tools and our gear. And I think we all get really close to what we work with and we put our energy into it. So definitely that they're close to me.
You know what we should do? We should go to the news here in about 45 seconds, and we should let you swallow swords for Facebook Live while we're in the news break. And anyone watching on WGNRadio.com can see that happen. But we don't need to make you try to talk into a microphone while you're doing that, because that seems very difficult.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm guessing we need to remain silent while
right,
this
we probably
thing
have
happened.
To be very calm. No, I'm going to be freaking out internally.
I'm quiet. You guys could do whatever. I'm used to crowds. I'm used to ruckus.
Do people yell? Do they like scream and shout when you guys are doing this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Of very course. Cool. Yeah. Yep. You learn in this
better.
Business. Go ahead, Dan.
It's better if while she's swallowing the sword that you guys narrate it so everybody can kind of see over, you know, through their mind where she's putting the sword.
Yeah. No, that sounds very difficult for me to pull off, but I'm going to try my best, Dan. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight, Dan Meyer, the president of the Sword Swallower Association International. Happy Sword Swallowing Day to you, my friend.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And hey, for any of your listeners, if you're near a Ripley's, believe it or not, show up tomorrow. The date is 2/25/17, and we will all be swallowing swords worldwide at the Big Swallow at 2:25:17 at Ripley's, believe it or not, around the world.
Wow, that is incredible. WGN Radio, Cody and Craig, this is very exciting. When you have sword swallowers in studio, you don't let them leave. You make them continue to do this for as long as they're willing to stay. Gigi Deluxe, you're still with us in studio, and you're going to do a double swallow, you said?
I could do...
Or a single?
I could do both.
You don't have to do both. I don't want to push you into a double. If you were ready for a single, stick to a single.
I could do the double first and then single, or I'm down for either one.
Okay.
First, I have to ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, we also have Dan Meyer, the president of Sword Swallowers Association International, still joining us by phone in case we've got any extra questions. So thank you so much for hanging on with us, Dan. So, Gigi,
you're welcome. Thanks, guys.
You just had a sword down your throat. We just put it on Facebook Live. It's on the WGN Radio Facebook page. You can go check it out there now. It blew my mind. How do you feel after? How does your throat feel? Like, what is it? What's the aftermath of that like for your body?
When I do it properly and I'm not overstressing myself, I feel fine. The more I progress and the better I get at it, and the more my body adjusts to it, the less that I feel like worn down or that my throat is sore. When I first started, I felt like I just ate gravel because I wasn't doing, you know, I'm training and I'm learning, and you're learning how to navigate things and how to work with your body. And then you start, your body starts getting that muscle memory. So you're not doing things the wrong way or awkwardly, and you're more gentle on your body. At least for me, that's how the experience going. So the more I progress and the better I get at it, the less I feel that it takes a tear, a wear on my body.
Sure, makes sense. Yeah, because I remember watching the video of Dan on, I think it was Stan Lee's Superhuman, when he did the flaming sword. I remember right at, and Dan also has been on Ripley's Believe It or Not, America's Got Talent, lots of different appearances.
Dan, you swallowed a sword and then like you pulled a car, right? That's another thing you did?
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Cody, you were going to ask a question. I just had to say that out loud,
My question was actually going to be, I remember just after swallowing the hot sword, I remember the first thing you said was, can I get a drink of water? So I'm guessing that was a little different than a regular sword for you.
That was pretty bizarre. My blacksmith had heated this sword up to like 1,500 degrees red hot.
Wow.
And it was a big 38-inch sword that he had made for me and everything, and he lowered it down into my body. And the hilt was just, I mean, bright red hot. It was hot, man. But, that's not something, don't try that at home.
Yeah, you don't need to do that. You've done it now.
I love the way you prefaced that was, yeah, that was bizarre. Yeah, because because right. Swallowing a sword on its own isn't.
Well, that's the thing is that for me, once I felt really comfortable with the single sword, it's like, okay, what's next?
Right. You guys always want to up the ante. You want to do something else to make it crazier.
You don't want to get bored. It's, you know, you conquered one thing. Okay, what's next? So I started doing the double sword, and sure. I'm working on triples.
Okay.
So, yeah, that feels really different.
And you're gonna do one now. You can do another sword right now.
Can I ask a real quick question,
go ahead, Roger,
guys?
Go ahead.
Because people come in different sizes.
Yes.
And your guest in this, I don't know how tall Dan is.
About 6 foot.
Okay, so you're pretty tall. Well, your guest in the studio is
5'1".
5'1".
A little bit shorter, yes.
A little shorter.
So when you say that you have your swords custom made, would your swords be of a shorter length than Dan's swords?
I'm short-waisted as well, so I have to keep my anatomy in mind when I'm doing this because, obviously, where is it going to go?
Right.
So I have to definitely keep that in mind. And you know, you start learning how things feel. So I have to learn to read my body and know that if something is uncomfortable in a bad way, that I need to pay attention to that and not push it, that's my limit. So right now, my limit for me personally is 18. It's 17 and a half, 18 inches. And that's, I think, being as petite as I am, 5'1", I don't know if I could go past that.
You know,
the hilt will be sticking up, but, you know, I could do it that way, but to actually go down to where the hilt is actually touching my lips.
Let's not push the limits beyond what you're...
Dan, how long are your swords?
Most of my swords are about 24-inch long blades, 30-inch swords with 22, 23, 24-inch long blades. But here's the thing. You know, I could swallow longer swords. We've got people that have swallowed a little bit longer swords. But the thing is, on the average human, you've got about 20 inches from the back of your throat to the bottom of your stomach. And you can't push it past that. I mean, obviously you don't want to if you do.
Right.
You know,
well, and I imagine.
That's the final one, yeah.
I imagine most of the audience doesn't really care if you swallowed a 71-inch
right.
or a 35-inch. I don't think you swallowed a sword. I think we're good there.
I'm yet to have somebody come up with a measuring tape.
Right, yeah. That's so. I don't know if that was quite long enough. Yeah, so, okay. Questions aside, I really want to see this happen in studio, and I want to try to describe it to our listeners. Gigi is going
to
swallow a
sword. I
want
to see you try to describe it, too.
Okay. First she gets lubricated. She's drinking some water, which is very wise, I think. Dan, that's probably wise.
And, I mean, even during the break, if you watch on the Facebook page, that was...
I'm also going to try to shoot
my jaw was just dropped for about 5 minutes.
All right.
So Gigi is holding two swords. She's clinking them together. I don't know if you can hear that, but those are real swords. And now she's putting them together. This is a double swallow.
So they're...
She licks the sword first, which...
They're, of course, together, but, you know, because of the hilts, they're not just perfectly together.
Right. It's two individual swords stacked one on top of the other.
And...
No, please. You don't rush at all. Do not rush this.
And they do have
we will take as much time as you need.
Very glittery hilts. So
now both swords are in her mouth. And she is swallowing both swords. Live in studio. WGN Radio. This is what we bring to the 2:30, 3 o'clock time slot, Cody.
I mean, she's looking straight up and she keeps pressing them down her throat. And she
takes her hands off the swords and then she bends over with the
like a bow
and
then pulls one sword out and then pulls the other sword out.
Was incredible.
I
WGN Radio, this will be up on WGNRadio.com for anyone that wants to see what we just probably described poorly. That was amazing.
I'm a little...
Dan, you can't see anything, but you know very... How did we do describing what just happened in studio?
You did perfect, perfect. Actually, a little something that I'm going to insert here.
Please.
We kind of have a little unknown little kind of sword swallower secret that I learned years ago from old sword swallowers. If you drink a lot of water and lubricate your body, that's one thing, but it also helps the stomach hang a little bit lower in the body when you have a full stomach.
Oh.
Now, people always ask me, do you perform on an empty stomach? No, I prefer to eat a full meal about 2 or 3 hours before I do a full show so that my stomach is stretched and very full and the swords go down a lot deeper. A lot of times my longer swords will clink right on my teeth, you know, all the way down there. Now, you can swallow a longer sword. You know, I could swallow a a 40-inch long sword.
Sure.
Tooth, but I'd have about 20 inches of it sticking out of my throat. You want to kind of have the sword so that you can get the majority of the sword down your body.
Again, guys, thank you so much. I mean, happy sword swallowing
thank
day.
You.
I can't say that enough times. That was incredible, Gigi,
thank
what you.
You
just did in studio.
And thanks for having me.
And people can follow you. They can find you on Facebook and Twitter,
yes.
right?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And it's all under Gigi Deluxe.
So G-I-G-I Deluxe.
Correct.
Great. Wonderful. And people should follow you because that's some – I got to be honest. After seeing it,
and seeing the double swallow, by the way.
It's hard to process. Do you interact with a lot of people that watch it, and what do you think about people's reactions to it?
It's kind of funny because I this is what I do professionally, so I spend a lot of time training, and at home my family's used to it, so they don't like watching the sword swallowing at all, so they kind of ignore me. So I'm so used to it. And I just do it, you know, as training and whatnot. And it's not until I'm actually performing it again, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is something, you know, people don't get to
amazing.
See all the time.
This is amazing. Everyone doesn't do this.
I mean, it's really an honor for me to be involved in this and to be
sure.
able to be at this point and to perform and do it and educate people on Sideshow and the history of Sideshow, which I'm still learning about. And, you know, to show them that sword swallowing is still a very viable
yeah. It's very entertaining. That was incredibly entertaining to watch. By the way, from the 518, do you feel the need to burp at all now?
No.
Okay, good.
No. And also from the same text, this is the craziest thing they've ever heard on WGN.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're welcome. That's what we bring
to
the radio. Again, thank you both.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Dan, what were you going to say?
You know what, guys? When I got into sword swallowing, I had been doing juggling, stilt walking, unicycle riding, all these other things. And when you do, when you're performing, you know, especially if you do something well, people applaud and they enjoy it and everything.
Yeah.
But the sword swallowing, I had a lady at a radio station here in Florida yesterday, and she pulled the sword out and she's like, man, my hands are clammy. My heart is beating. This is incredible. It just affects people in a way that they don't expect. And that's one of the things, I don't know about Gigi, but for me and a lot of other sword swallowers, we just love it that,
oh, yeah.
you know, you can really impact somebody's life and take it way beyond just a trick. That, you know, I go out, I do this in 40 countries around the world, and I do it to inspire people that they can do the impossible in
exactly.
their lives. It's not just about, you know, showing off and doing a trick, but it's like, no, this goes beyond that. We're pushing the boundaries of the human condition. You're pushing, you know, the limitations. I did a TED Talk several years ago. If you guys like TED Talks, check it out. It's called Cutting Through Fear.
It's a great talk.
I did at a place called in TEDx Maastricht.
No, and I'll tell you a little bit, just Dan, watching this in studio, my heart was beating. I it was crazy
yep.
to see it happen. And like you said, maybe it motivates me to try something that I think I can't
yep.
do because
it's,
obviously
it's
you can
empowering.
Do it.
It's empowering.
Yeah,
and
right.
it's when people talk to me and they ask, like, oh, how'd you get into it? How do you do that? You know, they see that, wow, you can set your mind to something, and it's really
it.
Mind over matter, and it's about concentration. I tell them that I overcame an injury from it, but I still went back to it. That even blows their minds even more because it's just, you know, in my mind, the way I think and the way I approach almost everything in life now, due to, like, being able to overcome, you know, an injury and still achieve the dream of wanting
sure.
to sword swallow, it gives me a lot of confidence that I could do whatever I set my mind to and work hard at. And that's kind of the message that you set out.
Yeah. No, incredible. Incredible again. I'm going to let you guys go because I feel like we've pushed you to the limits here. But thank you so much.
First of all, what was the website one more time
yeah, give
for
it out
Sword
one more
Swallowers
time.
Day?
Oh, Ripley's? Go ahead, Dan.
www.swordswallow.com is the general information, world records, and general information on sword swing. www.swordswallow.org. is the Sword Swallowers Association, and if you look on the bottom, you can click on events or World Sword Swallowers Day there. And we're at Ripley's all around the world tomorrow, 2:25:17 at 2:25 and 17 in the afternoon is the big swallow. Show up about 1:30. We'll be doing demos at all the Ripley's. Gigi's going up to Wisconsin Dells.
Yep,
tomorrow.
I'll be at the Dells,
nice.
And then I'll be
come on up.
I'll be performing the big swallow at Ripley's, and then in the evening I'll be on the Showboat Saloon performing at night.
Wow. Well, you got to get to bed because you're up way too late with all the swallowing.
Well, I have Dan on the phone, and I want to hold him accountable. I still did not get my T-shirt.
Oh, she doesn't have a T-shirt, Dan. I don't know what's going on.
All right, we get you.
That was well done. This is Cody and Craig on WGN Radio. Thank you guys again for being in studio with us, and we got more stuff coming up.
Just, I'm sitting here, and I'm just like, yeah, what's going on? Yeah, and again, check out the video on the Facebook page. We'll have more on the website, and more to come right here on WGN. I'm Cody Goff. I'm here with Craig Collins. We are filling in for Matt Bubala. I feel like I need a cigarette after that.
It was incredible.
Very intense sword swallowing segment.
Emotional.
Again, you can right now go to the WGN Radio Facebook page and watch video of someone swallowing a sword live in studio.
GG Deluxe.
And that was
incredible, man.
Was a lot to take in, and I'm not even the one that swallowed the sword.
Bravo, well done. You deserve a rim shot.
Thank you.
You know, I don't even know how to transition from that, but we're going to try to transition to something else, which, again, amazing GG Deluxe in studio. You put a story, or Shantae gave us a story, about the way that teens hang out now. Do you know how teens are hanging out?
Not very well.
Not
apparently.
In person at
not,
all.
Yeah, not.
They're live chilling. Roger, have you heard of the live chilling? You seem like a live chill kind of guy.
I chill 24/7, so I'm always live.
You're always chilling.
Even in my dreams, when I'm sleeping, it's a sleep chill.
Got it. You're just sleep chilling. Well, the live chilling that kids are doing today, the damn kids, they're putting their phones on like FaceTime or something, and then hanging out. They're not actually together, but they're doing something, and then they're interacting through social media or through their phones.
Well, there's a very popular app. This one particular app is called House Party.
Sure.
And it allows you to video chat. And according to the Pew Research Center, some recent survey information stuff that they ran from 2015, 1 in 3 teens said that they hang out with friends outside of school less often than every few days.
Right. Is this the tipping point? Is this the moment where we say that maybe cell phones were bad for our actual interactions that we do in person? If you have to live chill with your friends, you can't hang out with them in real life.
I think it's the end of society as we know it.
Good. That's what I was searching for. That this is the end of society when we don't even chill in person.
Yeah.
We do this separately over some sort of... Cody,
pretty soon, you won't have to go to school.
No, you just won't do anything.
Everything's going to be on the phone.
Cody looks like he's not agreeing with us right now. Cody, do you feel like the live chill is a good thing?
You are misreading me. Absolutely.
Okay, totally. Okay.
I got it.
You were pausing. You were being pensive.
And this is coming from a gamer. I'm a video gamer.
Right.
Right? I mean, I grew up playing Nintendo and playing video games with my friends. But after school, in high school, every couple days, I would have all my friends come over after school and we would play Smash Brothers together.
Yeah.
We were in the same place. We coexisted as human beings. We were in the same room. There is such a difference.
Let me ask you, is there anybody that like you talk to on the phone a lot for a long time? My brother and I will have long phone conversations, like an hour long. And during that, I will at some point maybe not pay attention. Something will distract me that's where I am because I'm on the phone with my brother and I'll miss a little of what he was saying. I feel like that happens in the live chill world, and people, that would really make me mad if I was live chilling with you and you stopped paying attention to me.
Oh, totally. No, right. I minimized, you know, I've got the computer screen in front of me and I could look at Twitter right now.
Right.
Which you can tweet at me. Producer Cody is my Twitter
handle.
Nice.
That was well done.
Thank you. You can tweet at me. I've got our text message screen so you can see our text and all these things. And I'm trying not to, I'm not really looking at any of them.
Right. Because you're here, you're in the moment.
Because I'm trying to be in the moment. I don't want to be looking at a text message, although we do encourage you to text us at 312-981-7200.
Working it all in.
But I don't want to catch a text message and miss someone literally swallowing a sword in front of me. That would be unfortunate.
No, there's stuff that happens in real life. And so I'm preaching right now to anyone that live chills, put down the phone, go to your friend's house, and hang out with them there.
And after the news, we're going to be talking to a dating coach and matchmaking expert who's going to corroborate some of what we just talked about.
Awesome.
To, you know, say that maybe real life is a good thing and apps are not so much.
WGN Radio, Craig Collins, Cody Goff sitting in for Matt Bubala. And we're going to talk dating. That makes sense. You're newly engaged tonight, so why not? Why don't we get into the dating world a little bit?
Yeah, go for it.
Our guest on the line is Susie Parkis. Susie, are you there? Susie?
Hi.
Hey, Susie. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Well, this morning. I'm really good, thank you.
Right, yeah, this morning. So you're calling us from London, correct?
That's the one.
And what time is it there, like 9:30 in the morning?
Just past 9:30,
Nice. Did you have, like, a tea this morning, I assume? There's tea there all the time, right?
You know what? I am a self-confessed teapot, but I haven't had my cup of tea yet.
Oh, my God. I feel like we're interrupting your cup of tea. If you want to pour it while we're doing this, it's totally fine. You are also a dating expert, a dating coach, and a matchmaking expert. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit about how you got into... Were you setting up a lot of your friends first and just realized you were really good at this? Like, how did you get into becoming a dating coach?
Oh, it's a complete hodgepodge. But, yeah, I've always introduced people because I'm a bit of a, I don't know, busybody in that way. And I've helped a lot of couples form. And then I was doing some dinner parties because I just wanted to connect all my friends. And so I could do mass catch-ups. And they started sort of meeting and mingling. And then somebody gave me a bit of a nudge and said, Suze, you know so many single people. Why don't you do something about it and set up a single dinner? And I was like, are you serious? Because it's not like I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, so then you set up meetyourmatch.club, right?
Right. So it was quite well, I didn't have a brand at the time. But yeah, so it started off with single dinners, like me just inviting people. And people started to meet, marry, and have babies. And then I actually formalized it into a business and started doing singles events. And then people actually started asking me for formalized matchmaking services, not just, hey, do you know anyone? So that's kind of when the Meet Your Match thing started. And kind of in between the events and the matchmaking, people were saying, you know, do you offer coaching? Can you coach me? Because I feel like I'm really struggling. And, you know, it just kind of started from there and word got around. And, you know, my track record in the first 18 months was like 16 couples, 5 engagements and 3 weddings.
Wow.
And it's obviously gone up.
Do you give speeches? Everybody has to ask you to give a speech at these weddings, right? If you introduce people, my line of thinking is that you get the speech right after the dads and moms. Then you get to talk.
Are you kidding?
No, I think so. Come on. Yeah, of course.
No. People are like, you know, how did you meet? Oh, you know, we just got introduced. No one would ever say we met at a singles event or we were introduced. Having said that, though.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that. Why do you think that is?
Because... Even though we've moved on, right, and everyone's using dating apps and whatever to meet, people still feel like they've not achieved in their relationship because they had to use alternative means by which to meet someone, whether that's using an introduction service or an app or an event.
And it's been that way for a decade. Where's the tipping point, do you think? When is it going to stop being such a faux pas?
You know, I think it depends on the person because I've been to so many weddings where people actually celebrate it. So a friend of mine sort of a year or so ago, they got married and they met on Tinder. Funny enough, they actually went to the same university together, but they didn't cross paths. And they didn't hide the fact. You know, it was like, it is what it is, right? So Tinder helped us, great, happy days, here we are. Other people would be like, no, we would never ever mention that, you know, we met on the likes of Tinder, Bumble, etc., because it's just not the done thing and, you know, we'll be dubbed as losers. So I really think it's a personal thing. But coming back to your point, the first wedding that we celebrated, it was actually really nice. The couple in their speech acknowledged me. And
there you go.
Quite embarrassing.
No, it's not. You deserve all the credits. You deserve all the accolades. I introduced one set of friends that wound up getting married. And when I went to their wedding, I made sure everyone knew that I was the reason they were married. I just walked around. Everyone that needed to know, people that didn't need to know, this is all because of me.
Yeah, but that's because you were being a good Samaritan, right? And this is your business.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. I was trying to grow my own business. So tell me, what are some common problems that you see? You mentioned that people sometimes struggle in the dating world, and maybe it's not just in the app world, but in general. What are some of the most common things you're coaching people to do better?
Oh, what I'm coaching them to do better. Okay, because there's two different sides to that conversation.
Okay, give me both sides.
Okay, fine. So I'll tell you the common issues in relationships,
yes.
Right? And then I'll tell you what my clients have problems with. So trust is one of the fundamentals in a relationship. And trust these days is much harder to achieve than previously because there's so much temptation in the forms of social media and people being curious with the apps, you know, married friends or people in relationships having conversations with single friends and having their curiosity piqued. So there's a massive, massive trust issue that needs to be managed the whole time. Communication is absolutely massive. There's so much miscommunication and misunderstanding going on. So you need to find your common communication style in a relationship. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of problems moving forward and a lot of blow-ups. Money is a really big one, or lack of money, especially if one's earning more than the other. Then there's this imbalance of, I can't afford to keep up with this, even though that might not be expected. So money does generally cause a lot of problems. You'd be surprised, but actually too much socialising causes problems, because you need to have quality time in a relationship as well. And so when the couple or one of the people in the couple don't feel like there's enough quality time, they start being uncomfortable about the fact that their partner's socialising too much, or they're socialising too much as a couple because they're having to vie for their partner's attention.
And you even see that if they were social creatures to begin with, if they're both really social people and then they get together, you still think that they need to pull back from that kind of world?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you can't just go out socializing and then go to bed, because otherwise you know what will happen.
Sure.
Is you could end up falling into like the housemate scenario, and that's when couples fall apart as well. They become all like housemates and buddies. And it's about keeping the romance alive. I'm sure you're in a relationship, right?
Yes. No, I'm a married man, and Cody is recently engaged as of today.
Oh, congratulations. So, look, you know that it's really important to keep the romance alive. And it's really hard to be romantic in an overly social environment. You need to have that one-on-one time. So, you know, courting and dating, even when you're, you know, in a relationship, engaged or married, is still really, really important, because without the romance, it will start to fizzle into a friendship if you're not careful. So, yeah, 100% you need to have the quality time. Distance is always a problem, even if you're in the same country. So, you know, even if you've got to travel like an hour to see each other for a coffee, that can take its toll, because it's really nice to have that convenience factor. So for some people, distance is a problem. For some people, it's really not. It depends how you manage it.
Sure.
Yeah, have you found any kind of pattern in the type of person where distance is okay? Because, I mean, I know married couples who've been, let's say a couple's been married 15, 20 years, and then one gets a job somewhere. Suddenly they're commuting to see each other on a three-hour plane flight once a week, and that's fine with them. But then there's other people where I can't even imagine living. I mean, heck, in Chicago when I was dating, I set my Tinder radius to 1 mile. Because I'm like, if you live in the wrong neighborhood,
you're 2 miles away, this is over.
If I need to take a bus to a train to get to you, there's no way. Just forget about it. So how does that work? How is there such a huge difference in the way that people tolerate that?
You know, I think it really depends on who you are as a person and your personal circumstances. So can I tell you from personal experience that when I was dating somebody, I was in one city and they were in another, and it was a 45-minute drive, which along a motorway as well. So it wasn't just, you know, in the suburbs. And it was a pain, and I did end up staying over. And just because of my circumstances, I could manage it because I was at university, so I had flexibility. If you ask me to do that today, I don't have the time, because the demands on my time is so much more.
Right, and the whole drive over, you're going to be so upset that you're driving there. By the time you get there, you're going to be mad.
Yeah, you're going to be really tired. You could have road rage,
right.
You know, all sorts of things. And there's always this expectation that when you see your partner, again, depending on, no matter where you are in the stage of your relationship journey, there's always this expectation that we've got to be on our best behavior and have a good time, because I'm not going to see you for a day, 2 days, a week, a month, whatever.
Well, here we go. Real quick, 312-981-7200. If anyone has a dating question they want to ask Susie, please call in 312-981-7200. One of the things that we have written down here is just the apps and the technology today. It's changed a lot in the last 10 years, 15 years from what dating used to be. And I know that there's a lot of negatives to that. There's a lot of Tinder, for example, is just very visual. It's not necessarily getting to know someone the way that people used to. What are the kind of dangers that you see in that world?
It's so superficial. You know, most of the dating apps are superficially led. And there's so many problems. There's, you know, you like the look of someone, but you don't like the sound of them, like the actual audible sound of them,
yeah.
Or perhaps you've got no conversation. So you do get some people where it's like, they look nice, but I'll tolerate the fact that they sound like Janice from Friends, or, you know, they've got no conversation, but that's only going to last so long. And it is a huge problem. For some people, it works. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I've got a friend that got married from Tinder. But on the whole, Tinder has changed anyway since it started. It's created and attracted a different breed of animals. and people are looking for more.
They're looking for something a little different. How dangerous is it to think that you know someone from their Facebook page, or to think that you know someone because of what they've tweeted? Because I know that the temptation nowadays is if I meet someone or even get set up to meet someone, I'm going to stalk them on social media first. How dangerous is it to write someone off without actually getting to meet them?
I love this question. I gave a talk about it actually this week. It's so dangerous.
Right?
You can be anything, right? So Facebook is an edited version of your life. You're only going to put your best foot forward and only going to put your best pictures up and all that kind of jazz. And there's so much more to a person than the superficials that they put out. No one's Facebook is a real projection of their life. It's just not.
Right.
It's a completely edited version.
And if it was, that person wouldn't get any dates. If you put up like all the stuff that was going on with you, you'd probably be a lot less popular.
No, I travel internationally every weekend. I only party with attractive people. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, correct.
Have you guys got like Big Brother over there or something?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, so why do you think the Big Brother is so appealing? Because it's real, and people either like you or hate you by the time you've done your time in the house. And if you really stalk someone in real life, you would see that their Facebook and real life do not match up at all.
And Big Brother, correct me if I'm wrong. Big Brother is huge in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit too big. We've got Gogglebox and all sorts now. I mean, people just love to people watch here because I think they don't have a true sense of reality. And by watching these programs, it's like we can kind of watch you and stalk you and see real life unfold because people are fed up of seeing things like Facebook where it is an edited version of someone's life. It's not a true depiction.
How do we improve that, though? Because the opposite would be to not be on social media. And I can't tell you the amount of people that have told me that if they were set up on a date and the guy didn't have a Facebook page or he didn't have a Twitter page. Like, that's just an instant no.
Really?
If I can't know things about you before I meet you in this day and age, most people seem to want to not even engage. So what is the solution to this sort of on-demand world we live in now where you can get so much information online, but you really can't turn everything off?
But that's a real problem. Well, honestly, if it wasn't for my business, I promise you I wouldn't be on Facebook. It's the biggest headache in my life. I'm fed up with, all the notifications. But coming back to what you said, it's a real problem that people need to play detective before they've met someone, because I can't tell you the amount of time someone's seen a dodgy picture or seen a post and misconstrued it, and then they've written the person off and then not wanted to meet them. You mustn't Google someone. You mustn't Facebook them. You just need to meet them. And you asked me about what do I do with my coaching. One of the things I teach people is how to pre-qualify someone before you meet them. I know it sounds a bit recruitment-like, and it's not. There's a whole process we go through.
We need some of that process. Can you tell us some of that process?
I will tell you. But in order to, feel confident and comfortable about someone before you meet them, you need to pre-qualify them.
Sure.
And so what that means is whether you meet on an app or a dating website, the process, and I'll just shorten it for you, is don't speak too much on the app or the website, because otherwise you run the risk of becoming like pen pals. And it's really easy to have a different persona that way than when you speak on the phone or in real life.
Oh.
So it's kind of like we've established a connection, right? Okay, let's move over to the phone, give your phone number out. You can have a dating phone if you want to, if you don't want to give your real number out because you're frightened of someone and you want to.
I just love the term a dating phone. Sorry, continue. I love the idea of like, this is my dating phone. I've got calls on this one.
Well,
don't
but
worry.
For girls, that's probably more normal because there's some creepy dudes out there, right?
Right. You want to separate that.
Like, yeah. I wouldn't need one. I'm a big dude. But
no, but seriously, like I have my own chat show as well. And one of the people I interview is an NCIS agent, and she was telling me about the scary things that go on within dating. And actually, there was a story that broke yesterday. So you have to be really careful. So if you want to kind of safeguard yourself, why not get a pay-as-you-go phone?
Yeah.
It's not expensive. And it just means that also, if you put a phone number into Facebook, you can pull up someone's Facebook profile through their phone number, because every Facebook profile is linked to a phone number. So again, it just kind of safeguards you in every respect.
Wow.
You had a secondary number.
I didn't even think about that. You just pointed out something ridiculous, that every phone number is tied to a Facebook. So all you need is a phone number and you can look somebody up on Facebook. I guess it's kind of interesting to me. You say that you set up a secondary phone and you have all this kind of stuff and you're sort of protecting who you really are in the dating world, how easy is it then to ghost somebody? And how often are you talking to people that complain about ghosting? And if you don't know that term, I'm sure you do, for anyone listening, it's when you just complete cut off, stop talking to someone that you may or may not have been seeing. You're just done without any explanation, anything like that.
Okay, well, this kind of ties into the whole process.
Okay, go ahead.
Together?
Yes, no,
okay,
please.
Fine.
Sorry.
So, in short, right, you meet on the app or the website. You don't talk there for too long because you know that you've got some interest.
Right.
You move over to the phone, whether it's your primary phone or your dating phone.
Probably your dating phone if you're... Okay, go ahead.
Right, okay. But can I just say, as a caveat, when you decide that person's safe, give them your real number. Otherwise, that will cause problems when they know you're on the dating
right.
phone.
Right, yeah, when your phone's not ringing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a story for another time. But let me just tell you, you move them over onto the real phone. You get them over onto a conversation as quickly as possible because, again, oh, and don't WhatsApp because then there's too much intrigue around, oh, can you send me some more pictures? And
oh, right, okay, yeah.
Going down
cut those
route.
Off.
Yeah, like don't be sending loads of pictures before you meet someone. It's like, no, let's just meet and try and meet up within 7 days of establishing connection. Otherwise, the whole pen friend thing happens. Other people start talking to the person you're talking to. They might lose interest, all that kind of stuff. Make things happen quickly. Really, you just want to get them on the phone to make sure that they don't sound like Pee Wee Herman or Janice and Friends, so that they're actually audibly okay.
Right.
They can hold a conversation, that there's a bit of banter and laughter going on, and that there's just something of intrigue. Great, okay, I'm interested in you. When are we going to meet? And guys have to take control of that, and they have to organize the time and the date. And whether you're both running busy social lives, just cancel whatever it is. Your friends will understand. Dating comes first. If you put someone on the back burner and make them wait, they won't feel like a priority, and someone else will come in, and you've lost the chance. So that's that. Now, you talk about the ghosting. Well, ghosting happens for loads of reasons. When someone isn't made it like a priority, for
okay.
example, you know, when it's like, oh, yeah, I can see you in 2 weeks, it's like, yeah, forget that. I'm going to go out with the other one. And then maybe you've lost the person. But ghosting generally comes down to communication and lack thereof, where somebody doesn't feel confident or comfortable enough to say, do you know what, this isn't working for me. I think you're really lovely, but I'm just not that into you.
Right.
Or, you know, something has distracted me in some way. It's just about not being a decent person and communicating what's really going on.
See, I think,
a lot of stuff.
All the technology out there makes a lot of us less decent people. I don't think that we wind up being as decent. We have to take a break. I want to know more about this dating coaching thing that you're talking about. I also want to know a recommended first place to take someone before you've met someone, if you're going to go for the first time. I want to know what you think the best place to be to do that. But we'll have more after this. It's WGN Radio. Craig Collins, Cody Goff, back with you after a few commercials. Oh, look at that. A nice little bit of, maybe this is dancing music. Maybe we're going out on a dancing date. Craig Collins, Cody Goff in studio here, filling in for Matt Bubala, Chicago's very own, 720 WGN. This is amazing. Susie, you're still with us, dating coach, expert, extraordinaire. And I was just about to ask you where you would tell someone to go on their first date, and maybe it's not a club.
No, it's okay. Not a club. Sorry, when the music came on, that was quite funny.
No, that was awesome.
No, not a club. What do you want to do? Get down and dirty and start grinding with someone you just met them? I don't think so.
You never know. Maybe somebody's going to be into that every so often. Maybe you got the right read in these WhatsApp chats or something.
Oh, don't even get me started. you asked me the best thing to do on a date.
Yes.
Well, first of all, don't go to a club. It sets the wrong tone.
Okay.
But a doing date, it's really that simple. Something where you are doing something where you can both interact and talk. I'll tell you why. If you go to cinema, you're not going to speak. You might be able to talk about the film afterwards, but you've just spent an hour and a half in silence with someone that you've just met. That's a bit awkward. Bowling can be quite embarrassing, but something like, obviously I don't know what you guys have over there, but like, you know, doing a cooking class or something where you're like making something or you're going on some sort of a tour or something like that, something where you can consistently interact and talk about what you're doing and have some fun because it breaks the ice. The problem with going out for drinks and dinner, which I'm not saying not to do, it just depends how confident and comfortable you are in that scenario. But when you're doing something, it takes the onus off you and then you don't start getting into the awkward silences of, so how many brothers and sisters have you got? And then it starts leading down to, so when did you last date somebody? When did you last sleep with someone? Oh, why did it break up? Because when you run out of conversation, you start delving into someone's past. And when you start talking about the past, it again, it's just such a no-no because you can let things out the bag that maybe someone will misinterpret or misconstrue. So definitely on a first date, do something so that you're never struggling for that that conversation. There won't be any awkward silences that you might fill with information that you don't really want to be divulging.
You know, Susie, and on that note, I noticed, and we've just got another minute or so. So when I was in the dating world, I noticed that I kind of became a serial dater, and a lot of my free time was going on dates. And I found that after a while, it became all I had to talk about was, well, I went on a crazy Tinder date last week. And when you're on a date, you probably don't want to be talking about dates. So what can people do to break out of that and moderate how much they're dating? Because it's so easy to go on 10 dates a week anymore.
I did it. I went on a date for breakfast, lunch, and dinner when I was living in Canada for a while. I mean, it happens. And it's boring. And nobody wants to know that you're dating those of other people.
You went out on a breakfast, lunch, and dinner date with three different people?
Yeah, we're talking about well over 10 years ago.
No. That's impressive.
I've done two in a day.
Wait, but what's the, okay, Cody's done two. What's the downtime in between those? You get home from breakfast and what is it, like a couple hours? Do you change? Do you give a different wardrobe to the next person?
Like get home, chill out, have a cup of tea.
Okay.
Go and do some stuff and then go out again. But I mean, it's totally taking it out of context, right? I was there for 4 weeks.
Right.
And sure. I decided to go on a dating app. A dating website, rather. And at that time, I was playing around with the algorithms. I had, like, the most popular dating profile this website. And I was getting hit up left, right, and center. And I thought, well, all my friends are out at work, and I'm here on vacation. I'm going to go on some dates.
No, hey, if you have three people asking you out in one day, I say go for it.
You must have been really hot. That's impressive.
That really is impressive. Susie Parkus, thank you so much for joining us. Dating coach, matchmaking expert. Check out your website, meetyourmatch.club. I'm really...
There's a course on there as well about all the stuff we're talking about. Everything.
By the way, that's a really cool .com, .org. You have .club.
Yeah, because it's a club.
No, I know. That sounds... I want to be a part of your... But I'm a married man, so I don't want to join. I just want to... It's just very cool.
You know what? We can talk about this stuff again, and that's how you can keep, like, one foot in the game. I can talk you through all the stuff that goes on.
Wonderful. Cool. Yeah, I lived vicariously through you and your three dates in one day, certainly, already. So, again, thank you so much. Now, get to your breakfast, get to your tea, whatever you need to do there in England. Thank you for calling in to WGN.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Cheers.
Awesome! I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I'm Cody Goff. I am here with Craig Collins. We're filling in for Matt Bubala, and we are turning up the volume for the 4 o'clock hour. We are excited about entertaining you for the next 60 or so minutes. What, 51 minutes
something
or
like
so, something like that. Roger, that song sound familiar to you
at all? I was singing along, baby.
That was a hallmark.
Wow, that was an oldie but a goodie.
I know. We used to just come in screaming every 4 o'clock a.m. on Saturday mornings for a long time ago.
Yeah.
In a galaxy far, far away. Actually, it was a galaxy here, but there may be visitors from galaxies far, far away. Did you see that transition there, Craig?
That was a wonderful transition.
Thank
I'm applauding you.
It's
little
especially
golf clap.
Smooth when I call it out,
yeah.
I've noticed.
No, that makes it even better.
Thank you. You do know that UFO sightings are at an all-time high.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently everybody's seeing a UFO except me. Everybody's doing this, and they're sharing the photos on social media, or they're reporting it somewhere in the news. We have a news report of UFOs. Roger, have you seen a UFO?
Not unless they pull the cover off of mine.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Cody, have you seen a UFO? We're the only people who haven't seen one, I think.
No.
Right. But there's also a report out of NASA about planets that are inhabitable. So maybe these two stories go together now, and it's just confirmation that aliens exist.
All right. So a couple things. First of all.
You want me to pump the brakes.
There is a story that statistician Sam Monfort.
Right.
Has collated sightings recorded by the National UFO Reporting Center.
Ooh, you're doing this well.
And he has observed that the spotting of flying saucers has been on the downturn, but there has been a rise in sightings overall, an overall upward trend.
Right.
Now,
that's proof number one, aliens exist.
Although I will caveat this with, the only evidence I have that statistician Sam Monfort exists is this story on various news sources.
Yeah, we couldn't find him anywhere else. We tried to double check, and there is no this guy anywhere but in this story.
So we have an unidentified flying, perhaps, statistician who is talking about the UFO. So
he's an alien.
See, that makes sense. Casually tell us about your existence by being a reporter in the news. And then
exactly.
They're trying
to fit in.
Yeah. They're not going to be mean.
Well, Clark Kent was a reporter for the great Metropolitan newspaper.
He just said that Sam Monfort is Superman, and that was well done. That was very, very well done.
You were just talking about Dean Cain earlier tonight.
I was. I mentioned Dean Cain a little earlier. So, again, though, Cody, this is step one, and I'm very, very confident now that aliens are real. And I'm sure 312-981-7200, everyone now agrees. NASA says planets are inhabitable, and people are seeing UFOs.
So we bring this story to Craig's attention, and his immediate reaction is just to go on this off-air,
I went on a bit of a rant.
Off-air tirade about how aliens clearly exist.
They have to. There's no way they don't. If there's places that have water, there's places that have all the conditions for life that we have, which I've now mentioned this story three times. I don't have it in front of me, but NASA said this, right?
Well, fortunately, one of us has it in
front
of me.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I've got some connections at the Adler Planetarium. Shout out to Chicago's own Adler Planetarium, wonderful institution here in Chicago. And yeah, Wednesday, well, they provided some background information regarding Wednesday's NASA announcement that they have discovered some potentially inhabitable planets. In fact,
how many? How many potential?
Seven Earth-sized planets found orbiting a small, cool, reddish-colored star called TRAPPIST-1.
Sure.
And so three of those planets are within the habitable zone of the star.
Perfect zone. Like, that, there has to be life there. There's definitely water. There's people there.
So, no.
Okay.
That is not what NASA
reported. That's what NASA said.
That is what Craig is saying.
Right.
And Craig is fired up about it.
I am, though, because people are seeing UFOs. Although I contend that if we're the ones discovering that these other planets exist and they're maybe not at the same level of technology, maybe we're the invaders. Maybe the bad part in all this that we've never talked about before is that human beings are going to be the we're not going to get invaded like you've seen in a bunch of movies. We're going to be the invaders. We're going to take over another planet because we're the more technologically advanced people.
You're really worried about this.
I'm not. I implore humankind to be nice to the people when we're overlords. When we take over another planet, let's be nice about it. Let's not be mean. Let's come in and be very kind, very accepting. But we obviously have the technology to find these places. Now we just have to get there.
Well, hey, we've got a lot of watts here at WGN Radio. We're broadcasting a lot of watts all over the place. Maybe some are going to reach TRAPPIST-1.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
In over 40
years.
So
then, okay, well then, if it takes us 40 years to get there, I'm saying sorry right now that we invaded TRAPPIST-1 and all the planets around.
It might take us 40 years. It probably will take longer or never happen. I'm just saying.
I don't know why you're doubting. We're figuring all this stuff out. People are seeing UFOs everywhere. And by the way, these UFO sightings are never perfect, right? There's a photo in this of what clearly looks like a UFO, but this has to be from a movie. This is not the actual sighting. This is not the actual footage. This is a stock photo from what I'm reading on the story. When you see a photo online,
it does
it's always
say
like
picture
light.
Eye stock.
Right.
So that
so it's
would
not
suggest
it's not the real one, right? But so everyone says that they're seeing UFOs, but is it sort of like Bigfoot? No one can actually get a photo? Is that the problem, that like one guy can't get a crystal clear photo of a UFO and then we would all know it's there?
I've wondered this. And I've wondered this, okay, because I work during my day job. I'm on the 41st floor of my building in Chicago. So I can see a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
A UFO should pass you guys. 41, that's enough.
But let's say not even a UFO. Let's say a plane crash happens anywhere in the greater Chicago area. Because I can literally see...
Knock on wood, not say that.
I can literally see Michigan and Indiana from my building.
Right.
I'm not kidding. From across the lake. Michigan is actually the name of the lake. I don't know if you...
I've heard a thing or two about the lakes, yes.
So I can see all these things, but let's say I see a plane in distress or starting to something, or a UFO, for example. Am I going to have my phone out that fast? And the answer is yes, I will have my phone out that fast. But
because you are the Cody Goff.
The second question then, yes, you can tweet at me, @producerCody. The second question then is, would the camera app load quickly enough to take a photo?
Oh, come on. I mean, is this blazing quick? Some of these UFOs, they're not just like stopping to get gas or something. There's got to be a situation where they're not flying directly by you and they're hovering for any amount of time. And maybe my first response to seeing something like the sword swallowing we saw earlier is shock. But my second response would be, I need proof of this. And we all have the ability to take proof now. Every human being walking on this planet can take a photo at this point.
So you actually believe in aliens?
I do believe in aliens. I just think that we're the more technologically advanced society, not them. So I really do think that we're going to be the people that one day reach a planet and they'll be like, no, guys, leave our planet. And we won't. We'll just kind of stay.
You don't think it's a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy type situation where we're just going to get bulldozed?
I love the reference. I don't think so. I think that if we're finding that these other planets exist, if we think we see UFOs, maybe we're all afraid of aliens, but we should be the ones to be feared. That's what I'm saying. I'm just putting it out there. I'm saying that there's a lot of danger in what could be coming our way. And I think that we're going to be the ones scaring people.
Well, based on the fact that we've seen that we, and now this is back again.
Yeah, please go back to
Adler Planetarium. Mm-hmm. Based on the fact that we've been finding planets around lots of stars, even though we've only studied a tiny fraction of the stars in our region of the Milky Way galaxy, we think that planets are plentiful, and Earth-sized planets seem plentiful, too, so there could be many more planets than stars in our galaxy. I mean, there could be a lot out there, yes. But I don't know.
You don't think there's aliens? At this point, with all this information, you don't think that some other planet has people on it?
Here's what I think. If there are aliens that have contacted us, or that we've maintained any kind of contact with, a government knows. Probably the U.S.
Oh, no,
government.
Don't. Let's not conspiracy theory this. I think they'd tell us.
Nope,
you don't think
I'm conspiracy theorying this. I'm doing it full throttle.
Why not tell us?
Yeah. So that the people in power can continue to be in power and do whatever they want.
But
that's the point of conspiracy theories.
Right, but I'm going to try not to skew too far political on any of these things, but there's got to be some journalist out there that gets a tip to some of this kind of thing.
Nope,
They've kept it a secret from everybody. They're killing people.
You remember Men in Black?
Oh.
That little beep, beep, beep. Can't remember anything.
I can't believe.
Boom, done.
Now, look, Steve is going to agree with us, and I'm very excited. Steve, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, you know, well, listen, guys, I love this subject, and I want to tell you something. There are UFOs.
Okay.
But the only thing is, everybody's on this planet. They don't want to land here. It's too insane.
We're too crazy, you're saying, so the UFO just drives by.
Yeah, they do drive-bys.
Is it the same guys? Is it just one set of aliens or every set of aliens
whatever,
that sees us?
Whatever it is, they do drive-bys.
Okay.
They see what's going on here, and they go, it's too insane.
That makes a lot of sense.
And the ones that didn't make it, you know, probably crashed in Roswell. And that other thing in the Pendleton Forest in England.
I don't know, Steve. Have you ever driven by something that you didn't totally understand and then actually, like, stopped to explore it? I feel like one set of aliens would come down even if they thought we looked nuts.
Well, they did, and then they crashed.
Oh, you know what it is? It's the train. It's like when you see a train wreck, you can't help but watch.
Right, you can't
help. You kind of slow down.
Right.
That's when we see the sightings. They're slowing down.
They beheaded a kid in Iraq or something today.
Holy crap.
Because he listened to Western music. You don't think this is insane, this world?
I think that's insane for sure, Steve, and I thank you for mentioning that. That's a little bit different than what we're talking about, though, but for sure.
No, but he's right. It's a crazy world.
No, it's definitely.
I get exactly what he's saying.
Definitely a crazy world.
A bunch
world.
Of really terrible, awful, illogical things happen on this planet all the time.
Right.
And it's like watching a car wreck or a train wreck. You notice anytime you're driving on the expressway, you see an accident, you slow down, you look at the accident, you say, oh, that was terrible. Then you speed right back up. Then you're back up to 80 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour. And it's just no good.
There's a lot of good things happening here, too, though. There's a lot of reasons for aliens to want to come hang out with us. I mean, you know, you fly over Cabo San Lucas or something. That looks fun.
Look,
come on down and hang out.
For every Cody got engaged yesterday story that we've got, there's a lot of stories about people randomly getting heads cut off by crazy governments and things like that. And it's a cruel world. Cruel, dark world.
Yes, that is true. This puts a negative spin on my aliens are real chat that I wanted to have. Now I'm getting very sad.
No, but this goes in exactly in line with what you said about we would be the invaders.
Yeah, well, from the 630, if we're the ones that are the aliens that visit the other planets, the big question for him or her is that we will continue the tradition of probing inhabitants of said planet. Would we probe aliens is what they're asking.
No interest in probing aliens.
I have no interest either. I hope that That shouldn't be one of the first things you do after you get somewhere new. Like, let's probe all the people here. Hopefully the TSA doesn't go. Like, it's got to be a situation where we're friendly. We shake hands. We try to communicate, you know? Is that the big danger, too, is that if we explore another planet and there's people there, we can't talk to them, so everything's just going to go terrible? If you can't talk to people, you really don't know if you can trust them. How do we do – should we make, like, signs or, like, try to hug? Maybe a hug at another planet's terrible, though.
All I have to say is Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. Did you get that reference?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I'm going to pretend I did.
Just making
laugh.
Sure. Or Picard and Dathan
I
at
I got
El
that
Adrel.
One. That one I got.
Well, you kind of did.
Mm-hmm.
It was Star Trek. It was real nerdy. And it was just what's going right. on here with Craig and Cody. I'm Cody, though. I just said Craig's name first. And I'll tell you why after this on WGN. Yes. I'm Cody Goff. I'm here with Craig Collins.
We're taking control.
We're apparently taking control in for Matt Bubala tonight when we are now in the 80s.
That's a Bobby Brown hit.
Is it?
It's a smash.
I can't believe you've been listening to that all week.
I have. It popped into my head. It's a Ghostbusters soundtrack song.
Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 2.
Isn't it?
Yeah, you're correct. That is correct.
Because there's a huge difference.
What do you mean?
They're
very different movies.
The original, by the way.
Ghostbusters 2 is great. That's when they make the Statue of Liberty, like, attack people. That's wonderful.
That's good. I agree.
Okay, you let us out of the last segment by saying there was a reason why you said my name before yours.
This show, if we were like a morning show, let's say,
uh-huh.
or a regular show.
According to our texters, we're not doing a very great job, but okay, we're
morning
show.
According to one texter, hey, listen, somebody's entertained by this. If it's just us, then... Well,
hey, that doesn't matter.
That's a start.
All right.
Hey, we would be Craig and Cody. Because you said, oh, you wouldn't want it to be Cody and Craig? And no, and here's why. Because all of the duos that I know, you have the syllable advantage.
Oh.
See? Remember,
I see what you're saying.
Remember? We used to have Steve and Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
One syllable, then two syllables.
Correct.
Bill and Wendy.
Correct.
One syllable, then two syllables. And everyone I've known. So you automatically... Get,
oh, that's wonderful.
You automatically get it, Cody.
I like this. We don't even have to debate it. It's Craig and Cody.
So it's Craig and Cody. I almost just said it the other way because I'm so full of myself.
Well, I really appreciate that. I'm glad you were thinking about that all week, too.
I wasn't thinking about it all
no?
week.
No? Okay. Not as much as I was listening to Bobby Brown.
Well, I didn't want it, you know, I didn't want it to be a point of contention because
no.
then we might have to...
We were both so... We didn't... Neither one of us wanted to go first.
No. Well, I don't know about that, but the last thing we want is to end up, you know, getting in a fight and then we can't be friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then we end up in a bizarre breakup photo shoot.
Oh, that's you're again, like I got to clap. This is really well done again.
Another
really good transition there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. So this story was brought to our attention by our super producer, Shantae, who's just killing it tonight. Thank you again for all your help.
Best producer at WGN Radio.
Not supposed to bring too much attention. She's busy in there. But I want to say there's this story that we've found, which is just fantastic, that there was an early 20s couple at Western Michigan University who – decided to capture one last memory together with a breakup photo shoot.
That's weird. I don't know how you would tell someone that you're breaking up with that you want to have a whole photo shoot together. And I don't know why. Why are they breaking up? If they're willing to take a bunch of pictures together, I don't think the relationship's over.
From the New York Post, it says, from the awkward shoot, the ex is reunited for the first time since their breakup a year ago.
Okay. It took them a year to get to the photo shoot. I understand it a little more.
The high school sweetheart stayed for 3.5 years before they decided in college to end their relationship,
sure.
as most couples should.
Probably because of distance or something.
I really hope that people aren't offended if I said that, because I know some high school sweethearts get together. One of my uncles is still with his high school sweetheart. They've been married 30-some years, 40-some
wow.
years. Yeah, it happens. I mean, my parents got married when they were I think they were 20. So it happens. People can get in love, you know, fall in love when they're young. But when I went
I'm not arguing that. Sure.
When I went to college, the idea of continuing to date my high school girlfriend was
oh, and I did it too. I dated my high school girlfriend for the first year of college, and it was awful.
Right?
Every part of it was terrible. I hope she doesn't listen. She's a lovely person now, I assume. But that year was just the worst. Sorry, continue. You're telling a story. It's not about me. Go ahead.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, would you do this if you had a breakup and then maybe there was some reason that you still, you know, cared about this person. Is that what it is, or did they just want to be funny on social media? I don't know which one.
Well, the mastermind behind the photo shoot was quoted as saying,
Sure, I'm sure it's the guy.
This reporting says, Bach, who has a tripod, was the mastermind behind the photo shoot. Get me a tripod.
That qualifies you for a lot of things.
If I can become a mastermind just by having a tripod,
right?
I'll be good to go. That sounds golden.
The guy wants to do a photo shoot with his ex-girlfriend.
He is quoted as saying, I see my friends who are in relationships doing really nice professional photography photo shoots.
Sure.
I had the idea of doing the same thing in the same setting, but post-relationship in a different way. He shared the photos on Facebook, and then one of his friends posted them to Twitter, where they quickly achieved meme status. I'm guessing this was some kind of call for attention.
Yeah, this sounds like a call for... Although I think he does secretly want to get back together with her, too. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
They're touching.
Let's do a breakup photo shoot. I promise. I just want to do a breakup
her
photo
mouth
shoot.
Is kind of open-ish on his cheek in one of these.
I like how much we're going to break this down.
He kind of got a little...
Oh, no, you're right. She's kissing his cheek.
He got a little accidental action out of it, maybe.
I don't know if that was accidental. He probably coached her into doing that photo.
Who knows what happened behind the scenes. Oh, it's Cody Goff and Craig Collins here on WGN Radio, filling in for Matt Bubala for the last half hour of our three-hour extravaganza.
Yep, it's been an extravaganza.
It's been extravagant, to be sure.
Sword swallowing, a bunch of stuff happened.
A lot of things have happened. Yeah, check out the WGN Radio Facebook page for some fun little video of what transpired just a couple hours ago. You will be floored, I can promise you that. And you can follow me on Twitter at Producer Cody. Craig is on there.
I'm WGN Craig Collins.
We've got our Twitters open right now. And you can text us or give us a call at 312-981-7200 for the last little bit of our program. And what I thought we would do is, you know, on this station, we talk a lot about podcasts. You hear a lot about podcasts these days. Roger, what would you say, how would you define podcast?
Podcast. Well, they would be...
You could say anything in that voice, and anyone will believe you. That perfect radio voice got. You really... I know it sounds like I'm just blowing smoke, but the way you... Podcast.
No, I know. I like how subtly he said the word podcast to you while he thought about it. I felt like we were at a spelling
bee. Thoughtful. I was being thoughtful. Podcasts would be audio files of varying... lengths.
Wow.
Mainly shorter than, say, a 3-hour radio program. Probably a half an hour to an hour long, covering different subjects, not like you have covered tonight, various subjects. But we have many here on WGN Radio. We have a political podcast. We have a legal podcast.
Oh, I like what you're getting into right now, Roger. I've been working a lot with the WGN Plus world the last couple months, which has been really nice because I now work 9 to 5, which is kind of lovely. But beyond that, we, like you just said, have a variety of different shows that are being on-demand content that you can get at WGNradio.com. And then you just click on the WGN Plus tab. You got legal shows.
Right, but before we get into that.
Go ahead.
But panning back out. No. I didn't mean to cut either of you off, but...
Right.
That definition, that's a long definition.
It's hard to package, right? Right.
Hard to package what a podcast is?
Don't you think?
It's an audio recording of interesting subjects.
What about just calling it like an internet radio show?
But it's not really a show necessarily.
Exactly. And this is what I want to talk about is we talk about podcasts a lot on WGN Radio, and I've been on panels at – I was on a panel at the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
You're a fancy man. You panel a lot.
Thank you. Last year at C2E2 on how to improve your podcast, and a bunch of people showed up that didn't do podcasts. They didn't want tips on how to make their podcast better. They wanted to know, what is a podcast and how do I listen? So I just wanted to kind of –
Yeah, we just want to educate the world a little bit.
I wanted to give a little podcast 101, and this might seem kind of basic to some listeners, but to some other listeners – they may think, wow, I'm glad that this is being explained a bit better. And Roger, I mean, you nailed it. A podcast is basically an audio file of of a program that someone has created. But there's a lot of different definitions. Like, there's a show, let's say Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast.
Sure.
Comedian Bill Burr's got a podcast. Every Monday, he releases an hour of – basically, if it was on WGN, it would be the Bill Burr Show. But it's not. It's the Bill Burr Podcast because you can only get it on your – private device, let's say.
Ooh, my private device sounds interesting.
Yes, it does. It's, you know, it comes from iPod, right? iPodcast. I'm broadcasting to a person's portable device, and that's where that comes from. So,
wow, I just learned that. Sorry, keep going.
Little etymology.
Well, can I also equate it to there are many community colleges, even some regular universities.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
Have. Well,
he's going to say that we sound like college radio.
No. They offer a wide variety of different one-off classes.
Right.
It could be flower arranging. It could be drawing. It could be anything.
You're talking about something, a hyper-focused class.
Yeah, very hyper-focused.
Sure.
Sometimes it's one class for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or it's a series of six classes. They're very short. They don't last a whole semester. It's not like you're back in school.
Right now.
And it's things that you can pick through a catalog of, oh, I'm interested in learning that, or I'm interested in hearing about that. And that's what podcasting is, because you can go on any number of audio delivery systems, iHeartRadio, Apple iTunes, on WGN Plus.
Yeah, you should go there.
You can go all these places, WGN Radio Plus.
Mostly WGN Plus, yeah.
WGN Plus.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
And kind of go through the catalog, because it's all on the main page there.
You
go, I might want to listen to this, or I might want to listen to that. And then at your leisure...
Just
as
like
somebody
with,
else on the station always says,
this is very
at
true.
Your leisure, bro, you can listen to the podcast. You could stop it. You could pause it at any time. Listen to it later.
Well, just like with television now, how there's Netflix, there's Hulu, there's all that stuff
sure.
out there for you to go watch what you want, when you want. It's on demand. It's
mm-hmm.
an on-demand world to get, as Roger is saying, as specific of a show, or maybe we can't call it a show.
An interest.
Information as you want
right.
to find.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And right. So speaking to those podcatchers is actually the name of something like the iTunes Store, or there are other apps like iHeartRadio is another one where you can listen. And a podcatcher is basically like if you open the podcast's app on your mm-hmm. your iPhone. Or there's an app called Stitcher on Android. It's kind of the top Android podcatcher app. You can go there and you open this app, you search for a podcast, and most major podcasts you can find in this directory. And once you've pulled it up in this app, you can hit subscribe
to it.
And that is
yeah.
how you listen regularly.
That's the best way to listen, because then you can just forget about it and it's all on your phone later.
Mm-hmm.
And again, WGN Plus is a really good place to start for content.
And we're going to get there. Yes, basically.
We've
now.
Already got there several times.
So, but now we're going to focus on it.
I love it.
You are the expert on WGN
Right
Plus.
Now, I am. Right now, I'm working with a lot of the shows. A Guth and Hubke on Politics is one I'd recommend very, very strongly to anyone that wants to check out WGN Plus podcasts. It's great. It's a little bit more of the adult language, too. So you get to see a different side of some people that maybe you hear on WGN Radio in a different way.
Is it censored?
No, it is not, which is very cool about WGN Plus, that some of the content doesn't need to be censored. It's being put out in the form it's being created.
Hang on now. I was told that I need to have clean...
Well, you might not have the approvals from the iTunes and the places, and then your podcast would be taken down, but a select few of our podcasts are not forced into those rules.
Because we're not broadcast, so we're
no,
not beholden to FCC.
Another really great political show is The Mincing Rascals, which John Williams is hosting, and that's, you know, Eric Zorn does that, Scott Stantis is on that. It's a really good podcast as well. There's a lot of WGN Plus content out
there.
There's
a really great lifestyle podcast I've heard about called Game Life Balance.
I've heard of Game Life Balance. It's very, very good. Who's the host of that again?
It's hosted by, I think, Cody Goff.
Oh, I've heard about that guy.
He sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's not so bad, huh? And what's the Game Life Balance podcast all about?
It is about how it's about how adults can enjoy their lives and do things like work and raise families and still have fun with their hobbies.
We're doing this so well. We're promoting ourselves so well right now.
Well,
there's also a television podcast, Cody, if you want to talk about one.
What's that? Isn't that called You've Binge Challenged?
That is correct. You've Binge Challenged. The premise of the show is that the host binge watches a TV show, since we all binge watch stuff these days, and then he talks to a guest about it.
Who's the host of that show, Craig?
That's me, Craig Collins.
It's Craig Collins?
Yeah, it's an excellent show for anyone. I feel weird even just saying that. I like my show, but you don't have to. There's a lot of content on WGN Plus. Technori is a very interesting podcast if you're interested in the startup world or the tech world at all. I would hate to continue to recommend them to you, but WGNradio.com, click on the little top of the page, you see WGN Plus, and you'll have it all listed right there.
And
very, very
this
exciting.
Isn't just a total shameless.
No, it is. It's completely a shameless
chance
promotion
for us to promote our WGN Plus podcasts. I really did want to kind of just explain a little bit what it is.
Okay.
Because podcasting is a newer media form.
Well, it's something that seems to really be taking off. I think that 312-981-7200, if you want to call in and recommend a podcast, any podcast, we'll
or
take
text
that
us.
Recommendation. Or text us. But I think it's something that a lot of people are now listening to. It's happening. It's growing. I think I read somewhere that 3 out of 5 people have listened to a podcast this month, although 7 out of 8 stats are made up on the spot. But I'm pretty sure that it's something like that, like in the last month.
9 out of 10 stats in this show definitely
right,
are.
For sure. Now, I think like 60% of people have listened to some kind of podcast in the
so
last
month.
So
it's growing, and I think WGN is doing a pretty good job of offering both our quality radio content.
That's correct.
You know, quality newscasters such as Roger Badish, in addition to our more specialized WGN Plus content. And then the cool thing is, you know, and I've been in this, you know, before they let me on the air here, I started my own podcast. Was a video game podcast I did with my friend. And every week we would talk about some new games we were playing, and it was great. And I just put it out on my website. You could subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and all these other places. Then WGN Plus came around. I was rebranding to Game Life Balance. We got picked up there, and now you can check out my podcast there. So I'm there every couple weeks. We post a new episode. Craig's got stuff on there, and there's so much talent at this station beyond the surface
level. It's overflowing.
It is overflowing.
Right.
I was going to say below the surface level.
Okay.
Now
right.
You're saying overflowing.
Our
analogies are clashing. We're going for the same
below the surface level.
We're going for the same thing,
it's
but
splurging.
There's too much water.
Right.
I don't
There's
know how
a lot of water in there.
How to handle it. So anyway, if you do have questions, you should, tweet at me or send emails, things like that, and we will help you listen to these things.
Amen. But, I think we explained it really well. I liked Roger's definition a lot.
I liked it too.
Yeah. Way to go, Rog.
Thanks, Rog.
Gee, thanks, guys.
It's a really uplifting show tonight. I think we're going to take a commercial
break. I would
do
a podcast, but I'm too busy listening to everybody else's podcasts.
It's hard.
I don't have time to do a podcast.
It is actually hard to keep up. I've learned.
Yeah.
I've learned. And my podcast is also part of a podcast network called the Gunna Geek Network. It's at gunnageek.com, and there's a bunch of geeky podcasts there that are specialized that are probably even too geeky for WGN Radio, but they go like deep into really cool nerd content. So like if you're a fan of a certain Marvel comic TV show, for example, like there'll be a whole podcast dedicated to that.
I'm a fan of a lot of those TV shows.
Yeah, you should be a guest on those, on some of those.
I think your
podcast should be a part of
it. By the way, right now those TV shows are great. Flash specifically, but a lot of these superhero shows are really good.
Yeah.
They're all really great. You should watch any of them. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know, Roger, are you watching any of these shows right now?
You know what? I am so far behind because...
That's okay. There's so many
of
them.
The problem is I'll be watching them regular. Well, first of all, my nights, I have trouble seeing them that night, and then it costs to watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
All right. So, $2 to watch it, no big deal. So I'll stay with it for a little while, then I'll start thinking, wow, this is just falling off the wagon. So I won't watch it for a while.
Oh,
then I'll hear about an episode.
Okay.
And
Grodd,
then jump back into
just attacked
it.
The Flash on the last episode of The Flash. A giant monkey named Grodd just attacked the superhero.
That was from last season.
No, that was this last episode. It
right,
was
so
amazing.
So he came back.
No, Grodd is back.
Came back. All
Any
right.
time that you put a giant, you know, computerized
Talking.
Monkey... telepathic. He
telepathic,
doesn't actually talk. Yeah.
Right. Telepathic.
That's
super
the best
brilliant.
TV show you can make.
Yeah, I know. Now, I'm kind of hooked on. I'm kind of hooked on Legion.
Okay, Legion's good. That's he's an X-Men.
I've heard good things. I've heard good things.
Yeah. Well, all right. So. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm excited too, and I'm excited. I'm excited for whatever we're going to talk about next here on WGN.
Oh, I love this song. I'm Craig Collins. That's Cody Goff, WGN Radio, filling in for Matt Bubala. We're going to close with a story that has fascinated me that I found earlier today. A Reddit user offered a $330 bounty on a discontinued Portillo's dessert. And I think that he's a hero, because if you really love something, and this guy apparently loves the lemon cake at Portillo's, that when it gets taken from you, you do everything you can to get as much of it that's still out there as possible. He offers a $330. I like that it's specific. It's not $300. You get that extra $30. If you could locate for him one of these lemon cakes, and then he got some. It's a happy ending to the story. I'm just going to jump all the way to the ending. He posts on Reddit, and somebody comes through to give him sweet, sweet lemon cake. Sometimes, how is that not a fascinating story?
Sometimes the internet is a wonderful place.
Right, exactly. Like, there's nothing bad. There's no fighting in this story. A guy was like, man, lemon cake's getting taken from me. Portillo's is making a mistake. I need at least one more. I'll give somebody over $300 for one more of these dessert items, and they come through. The internet's like, sure, we have some extra ones. Here you go.
I love lemon cake.
Right. I don't know how expired the lemon cake was, because it does seem a little bit crazy to just put something out there on the internet and say, I'll take any lemon cake you got. I'll give you $300. But there was a change.org petition that got started in this guy's name that demanded the return of lemon cake. It's got about 150 supporters right now. Not exactly taking over the internet, but I love that there's at least 150 people supporting this man's desire for his favorite dessert item. And can you, Cody, just tell me, is there anything that's been taken from you too soon that you feel like if the internet could have banded around you, you would have loved to have come back?
Kenny Rogers Roasters. Have you ever had it?
I've never had that. Is it amazing?
Kenny Rogers Roasters was a fast food place.
Okay.
There was one in Rockford, and they had this chicken pot pie.
Craig. So it's not even just the restaurant, specifically the pot pie, but the whole restaurant. You'd like to see everything come back.
Just the chicken pot pie.
Okay, just the chicken pot pie.
If I had $330 to burn.
Right. I love that the extra $30 gets thrown in there.
If I had $300 and an extra $30 to burn, and it was on any dish that I could no longer get, yeah, that chicken pot pie from Kenny Rogers Roasters. I'm telling you, man, I used to try to get my parents to take me there all the time for that chicken pot pie, because it came in a bread bowl. And I remember there were peas. I don't know why. There was chicken in it. But I especially remember the peas.
Were the peas delicious? How do you make a good pea compared to... All peas are the same.
It was all so good. It was so delicious. I don't know. I don't know.
Does this have to be just food, or is there other stuff that you'd want to see come back that's been taken? I mean, you don't have to go all the way to like TV shows and stuff. But there's a place in New Jersey called Razzmatazz, and this was before Chuck E. Cheese. The Razzmatazz was the best place to go in the world. One, because its name was Razzmatazz. But two, because it just had a bunch of little video game things, and it had like the ball pit. It had everything that Chuck E. Cheese had, but it didn't force the mouse and the singing group on you, and there was no pizza. You just went and played, and then you left. And I loved Razzmatazz, and it was taken from me way too soon.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I'm very passionate about the Razzmatazz as well.
I guess you are.
Well, and it's, you know, and if the internet was around at the time and I were a savvy enough 10-year-old, I would have gotten on it and definitely offered someone everything in my piggy bank to bring back Razzmatazz for a day.
We've got a texter from the 312 who says Portillo's made him a cake and gave him the recipe.
That's
and
awesome.
That the money was donated to Red Cross.
Right. Portillo's will make your dream come true, the company said. We will make your lemon cake and tell you how to make it in the future for yourself. Your passion for this cake is quite inspiring. That's what they told the guy.
So you said it was a happy ending because he got the cake.
Big Ben 2010. That's the guy.
Big Ben.
Big Ben 2010 is his name on Reddit.
And we had, wow.
The cake was free of charge. I didn't read down to the end of the story, so I thank the texter for letting me know first. I just knew that he got cake. I didn't know that Portillo's came through to get it, but I see it here now.
You just stopped halfway through.
I did. I stopped, well, because I got all the facts I needed. There was a cake, and he wanted it, and he got it.
You know what, Craig? We live in a headline culture. And we need to start. People need to be careful.
I have to thank the 312 for sending that in and letting us know. That was very kind of them. He actually donated the money to the Red Cross, too. Look at this. He's doing my job for me. Thank you, Kevin.
Texter from 312, you have the final 3 minutes. of our 3 hour
show. You can anchor the whole rest of the show.
That's it. And a texter from the 815 also said, OMG, missing Kenny's too.
You know, I got word in my ear that Max Armstrong is standing by. Is that correct? Max, are you around?
Ooh.
Max,
hello. Hello, you two.
Max, how are you doing this morning?
Doing real well. Enjoying listening to you.
Thank you. I have to ask you if there's anything that you would pay $330 on the internet to get back. Is there a dessert item or anything that you want?
I don't think there's anything I miss that much. I enjoy dessert. My wife and I shared one last night at a restaurant, as a matter of fact. And I was just thinking about this. I'm a little concerned. She and I have shared desserts twice this week. I think we've got to start weaning ourselves off of that just a little.
No. I think that's fine. I think if you go out to eat, dessert is always supposed to be included. When people ask you if the dessert menu is something you want, the answer is always yes.
Now, was it a coffee dessert, though, or was this a very decadent, like, were you getting half
pies?
Yeah,
was it a thick, right.
No, that's another story. I had a woman bring me a pie at the Louisville Farm Show a couple of weeks ago. She brought me a pie. Now, I know this farm family. They're about 300 miles south of Chicago, so it didn't surprise me that she brought me this pie. But it was the most amazing thing. The dough was so good.
Oh.
You know, the crust. I mean, generally you think, I eat the pie for the filling. No. This crust, and she must have made it with lard or something.
What kind of pie was it?
Well, it was, in fact, an apple pie.
Wow.
With a little bit of cinnamon in it. And
is this a common occurrence for a Max Armstrong? Are you getting pies constantly from listeners?
This woman, they raise watermelons on their farm in Indiana. She has brought me watermelons to events before, too. She and her father, who I've known a long time.
Wow, we're friends with you. If they ever want to bring us watermelon or pie, it's totally open here, 435 North Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, we've had stuff brought there to the station before, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Well, we'll hang out. If you have a watermelon coming, Max, just let us know, and we'll stay. We'll hang out today.
We'll keep you posted. So, Cody, a big event in your life, huh?
Yes, I got engaged about, I don't know, a day, 12 hours ago, 13 hours ago. I'm engaged.
And you haven't been able to sleep all night since then.
Well, neither is my fiance now.
Max, he left his fiance at a Taco Bell.
Well, that's class.
With friends. Thank you very much. With friends. And hey, this was the Taco Bell in Wicker Park that serves alcohol. Only Taco Bell in the country that will.
So the fanciest Taco Bell in Chicago is what you're saying.
It'll put tequila in your Mountain Dew, and they did.
Are you telling us your decision was influenced by alcohol? That's real good. I hope she's not listening.
Yeah,
it's so
we
funny.
Go.
We went to this empanada place first, and she got a beer with lunch. And at the end of lunch, she said, wow, I think I have a little bit of a buzz. And I knew I was about to propose to her. And I go, oh, my God, don't say that. Please don't say that. So when she said yes, I said, are you sure? Do you need a couple hours to sober up?
Should you have gone to get a breathalyzer just to make sure?
Yeah. You may want to try to get her to forget that.